Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the pound for pound best radio show around the world. It's Leave It In the Ring. He took it from crack to rap. Now he put out two anthems a year, and I just wanna rock.
Wow.
Blah. Hello?
Yo.
Yo.
What's up, Rob?
Wow, I guess we're the only ones on the show.
Is the show actually working? Because I still can't find this chat.
Yeah, I just clicked on it now. It was a comment section for a while, but I just clicked on it now. But, I guess we're up. What? Yeah, I think I did. I sent you the link?
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, could people hear us, or is it just us talking?
Yeah, people can hear us, because they just said they heard Ruff.
Well, I heard him too, but I'm saying, can they hear us now? Because I can't find this chat at all.
Let me ask them.
Hello, we're having some problems, guys. You got to bear with us. We're trying to contact a technician for Blog Talk to see if they can fix this problem.
What's the problem?
Oh, well, everybody can hear us now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah, there was something up. I don't know what was going on. For some reason, nobody was able to hear each other. And I did email Blog Talk.
We just couldn't hear you. You weren't saying nothing.
No, I was talking and everything, and it you guys couldn't hear me. Hold on.
Wow, epic.
Sweet. This is going as good as the Pacquiao-Mayweather negotiations did.
Man, but like the beast everybody on this panel is, we got to keep the show going.
That's right. We got to do like Shane Mosey and just pull through.
Shit.
Hey, speaking of, man, what's going on? What is going on with this rumor that Andre Berto took a payout?
I have no idea, but I was hearing that Mayweather was supposedly going to give him step-aside money, but I doubt that. Andre Berto... Yeah, Berto's actually in Haiti right now, so I doubt he took any step aside money.
All I know is that's crazy if it happened. I mean, if that comes to fruition, man, that's definitely not going to look good for him, because I don't know. I mean, I don't understand why Golden Boy would pay him off to, you know, set up Mosey Mayweather. It doesn't. I mean, I guess it makes financial sense, but it doesn't make a lot of other sense to me. I don't know. I have to see to believe that thing.
Yeah, and not to mention that Berto and Mosley, they didn't really have to fight each other at all. So, I mean, to pay Berto off, I mean, that's like, you know, senseless.
It's like the this elusive Manny Pacquiao steroid email. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, the email, you know, the MySpace email. That shit was probably sent on MySpace.
So what's going on, man? Can people still hear us or not? Because I know we're talking, and I see David Chen in the chat room saying he's talking, but nobody can hear him.
Let me see.
Okay, David Chen can hear us. Cool. Anyway, yeah. So what's going on? So I guess today, if everything goes well, we're supposed to have Antonio DeMarco and Richard Gutierrez on the show. Joel Casamayor, for one reason or another, is not going to be on. So Gutierrez is. I don't know if everyone knows who he is. He's a welterweight. He's fought Antoine Smith. He fought Alfredo Angulo last year, and he also fought Joshua Clady a couple of years ago.
Oh yeah, I think I remember him. I've seen him on ESPN a few times, I think.
He's actually a pretty good fighter. He's kind of a guy. He looks like he gets pretty pissed off. I don't know. So I like watching the guy fight. He brings it. I don't know. I don't really know anything about this guy. He's fighting on Showbox in a couple weeks. Some undefeated cat from Argentina. So if he's on, we'll get to talk to him about that. And DeMarco, of course, has got the big showdown with Valero coming up. So hopefully we'll get to talk to him and hear his thoughts on that fight.
Valero, I can't believe Valero actually is actually going to Mexico, or is actually in Mexico right now for this fight. I would think that, you know, DeMarco being a challenger would go to wherever Valero is, but apparently Valero wants to go into hostile territory because we all know how Mexican fans are.
Yeah, well, you know, if anyone's not going to be afraid of going to Tijuana and hanging around that area and that crowd, it's definitely Valero because he's about as crazy as they come, him and Casamayor.
Yeah, he has a hole. He has like a hole from the surgery they did on his head. That's why America doesn't want to let him fight.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate situation, but I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, if we haven't seen any complications from it, but I guess if something happened, they'd feel guilty. But shit, they let Evander Holyfield fight, so well, some places do.
You know what,
I mean,
though, that Valero is used to going to, you know, tough areas, man. The guy, he's been in other spots. You know what I mean? So that's nothing new to him, going to TJ or anything like that.
That's what I'm saying.
Didn't he start over in Japan, I think? I think that's as wild as this crowd gets, really, because those people get into the fight.
I don't know how wild they get. They may get into it, but you ever watch MMA over there? It's like they're at a football.
Oh, no, MMA, Pride's different. Pride's different. Everybody's reserved in Pride.
Edwin Bellotti went to Panama, and that's when it got pretty crazy out there because he was fighting their champion. I think we got Strikecard on the line. Strike, were you there, brother?
No.
How about Dave Chen? Dave Chen, you on the line?
That might be me you're talking about.
All right, brother. Finally, you got in through, man. Apologize about that, brother. Anyways,
you know
man.
It was silent for a while. I thought it was just, you know, we didn't want to say anything because we all found out Bernard Hopkins is still fighting Roy Jones Jr., and, you know, just didn't know what to say.
That's probably why Strikehart isn't saying anything.
Yeah,
I know.
Everybody in the chat room is saying it's my new computer. It's not my new computer. It's
no, it can't be
Blog Talk. Yeah.
I was being gay.
It's a computer, man. It's a brand new, I got a brand new one, but it's not. It's Blog Talk. Something was going on with Blog Talk. But you know what? Stuff has been going crazy because of the weather. You know, things are just not working properly, unfortunately. So it is what it is, and just got to keep moving forward. So we apologize for everybody that did tune in right when it started, but unfortunately none of us were able to speak. I was able to hear somebody breathing and doing whatnot, man. I don't know if somebody was watching something.
Michael Myers called it masturbating.
Then nobody could be able to hear me, man. And everybody was hitting me up on the Twitter and Facebook, like, yo, we can't hear you. What's going on, man? But so we're here. We're here. No fear. But we are here.
Man, I just saw that video we're talking about Valero in Colombia. When he got knocked down, then people started throwing beer and shit in the ring.
Yeah.
That was fucking crazy. I was like, damn, overreaction quite a bit. From a knockdown.
You know, like Chris said, Casamayor is not going to come through, and the reason is because the guy that I deal with for all the Cuban fighters, he'd like to get his fighter, one of his fighters that's fighting on February 6th, is that right, Chris?
Yeah, on February 6th on Showtime.
On Showtime. He wants to put him out there so that he can talk a little bit about his upcoming fight. And this guy fought Angulo, gave him a tough fight. He even had Angulo on Quishry for a moment. Hey, Blood, we got you on the line, brother? Blood, you there, bro?
I don't know if he has his phone on mute or if the live talk is being gay. Pick him.
Blood, you there? I know Blood's on the line. He just, for some reason, he's not coming through. But anyways, what I was saying was he did give Angulo a run for his money. And gave him some moments there where, if you were a fan of Angulo, you definitely took a deep breath and were hoping that he was going to pull through, which he did. He did pull through out of that fight and was able to come strong and hurt Gutierrez and take that victory home. In other news, man, hey, what do you guys all think about Shane Mosley and Mayweather happening? I mean, there's talk of it happening. They said Mayweather's camp is saying they're not going to release anything until tomorrow and possibly talk about it. I know there's been talk of maybe in May, you know, moving the date to May or something. But either way, whether I want to see it happen, so I'm hoping that that fight happens. And if it does happen, does it take away the lackluster? I mean, does it take away the luster away from Pacquiao versus Kalati? I don't know. Chris, what do you think?
Well, it definitely takes away the luster. Well, it depends. I mean, I think Pacquiao, as we've seen, and Floyd Mayweather, as we all know by now, have very strong fan bases, which are very different. It doesn't seem like anybody that's fans of either. I mean, there's guys like us, and there's people that are fans of this show that are hardcore boxing fans that are fans of all fighters. But Pacquiao and Mayweather fans are not fans of one or another, so they're going to support their fighters. But I definitely think that the Mayweather-Mosley fight, if it comes off, definitely overshadows Pacquiao-Claudia. As good of a fight as Pacquiao-Claudia is, Mayweather-Mosley is something that fans have been really looking forward to, and just it's a big, big, big fight. I think it's definitely the bigger event, in my opinion.
You know, Oscar knows how to pump
up
fights.
I'm hoping that Mayweather decides to do it. You know, I really do, man. I hope he just says, you know what, I'm gonna step in the ring with them. I'm going to fight them, you know, and make it happen. I mean, it's a fight that's been, you know, in the making for years. You know, both of these guys have said they've been ducking each other. Both of these guys have said, oh, man, you know, I want to fight them. But it never has seemed to be the right time period for the both of them. And right now, first off, what's happened in Haiti is terrible. And the rumors that are saying that Berto pulled out because he got bought out, it's ridiculous. The guy, you know, has family in Haiti, you know. So that, I don't even want to take that. It's just like what Chris had mentioned. It's just almost like the email about Manny Pacquiao taking steroids. But really, I think, I don't know if you wanted to call it a blessing for Mosley if he does get the Mayweather fight, but in a way, it just seemed that it worked out. If it does work out, it had worked out for the better. I don't know. You know, Dave Chen, what do you think?
I mean, it's crazy because I haven't even really thought about this, that the possibility of this matchup is what I would call it, because honestly, I feel really bad for the Haitian people. I feel bad for Andre Berto. You know, I have the opinion that it's a little bit too soon. As soon as Andre Berto announced that he can't fight, for people to be like, oh, now Shane Mosley can fight Mayweather, isn't it great? I mean, you know, this is still just a sport of boxing. This is not entertainment, so on and so forth. It might be more than that to fighters or people in the game, but still, at the end of the day, human life is important, you know? And I just think it's too soon to even just be like, you know, look how convenient this is for boxing. Now, with that said, you know, when I think about Shane Mosley and Floyd Mayweather, I mean, I'll see the fight when it actually happens. Obviously, common sense, recent times have shown, doesn't really make the fight we need to see happen. Even when you sign the contract that has many, many millions of dollars guaranteed, they find a way to ruin the fight. So you know what? When I see Floyd trying to avoid Shane all these years, I'll believe it when they go to the weigh-in or something. You know, until something like that happens, I'm just not even going to pay attention much to this. You know, oh, I think there's a rumor that they said that they might talk to Richard Schaefer. I don't need to know all that.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you know, like I said before, you know, it's really terrible what they're saying about Berto, saying that he took this money and he's to step aside. First off, I don't know who started that rumor, but, I mean, come on, man. This is a time for, you know, I think it's not just for the community of the Haitians, but for the whole community of human beings to be together and kind of see that these people are in a time of need, you know, and last week we did have a link of Saving Haiti at AndreBerto.com. I don't know if anybody was able to use that to send some donations to the people in Haiti because they're in a time of need. I'm thinking, Blood, are you on the line yet? Or
Yeah, man. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now, man. Loud and clear, brother.
Hey, man, for those people who are going around saying those things about Berto, man, those are people who just don't have no tragedy in their life, man. They got that pearly gate in their front yard, and they don't know what the meaning of tragedy is all about. How the hell can you expect them to fight somebody like Sugar Shane Mosley and he ain't 100% focused. He has to be 100% focused for that fight. And when he just had family members go through such tragedy, you can't expect him to go in there and be 100% focused on a fighter like Shane Mosley, man. He might end up getting his head tore off in there. So, hell yeah, he needed to step down away from the fight for right now. And anybody who don't understand that, just, you know, they living in a fantasy land or something.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know what? I don't think a lot of people understand that. You know, first off, you know, his sister was you know, didn't have any communication with his sister for a while. You know, he was lost out there. And you know, right away you get – I was expecting – you know what, Two Blood, I've got to tell you the truth. I was expecting somebody to come out with that kind of a rumor right away saying like, oh, you know, he stepped aside because of this reason. But, you know, I mean – if you watch the news, you're going to see the current events that are happening. You know, I mean, just yesterday, they had again announced, hey, Haiti had an aftershock, and it was like 6.8 or something like that, something ridiculous. I was like, that's not even an aftershock. That's an actual earthquake. You know, so there's still things happening over there, and I have to applaud Berto to go like, you know what, I'm not going to step into the ring. You know, my people need me more, and I think if anything, that's the definition of a people's champion, in my opinion. You know, it's when somebody says, hey, there's a time to fight, and then there's a time to fight for the real reasons, not just for the money, but for the real reasons.
He's stepping out for a real reason. Now, you got other fighters who want to step out of the ring and not get in the ring because of a little simple blood test and because of a few pounds and this and that. I mean, this is a legitimate reason for him to not fight. Now, I don't think there's no argument in this, point blank. If people ain't seen what's been going on over there, then they lost totally.
Yo,
they don't even need to comment on the situation.
Speaking of the blood test, before everything's said and done today on today's show, I would like to make a comment about Manny Pacquiao's interview with Brian Kenny yesterday.
I didn't see
he had one. What you got? I didn't even see that one. What happened?
Yeah, well, you know, they were talking about the Claudio fight, and Brian Kenny asked him, you know, why didn't the Mayweather fight come through? And Manny said, I don't want to take blood the day of the fight or the day before the fight. And he said, because, you know, it might set me off. I just don't want to take blood the day of the fight or the day before. And then Brian Kenny said, well, Mayweather said 14 days out. And then Manny Pacquiao said, well, I don't want to give blood 14 days out either because it will disrupt my training camp. You know, I can understand him saying he don't want to take it the day of or the day before, but then he says, oh, I don't want to take it 14 days out either. So it seemed a little bit hypocritical to me, and he was just kind of, you know, and I'm not saying he didn't want to, he's ducking the fight, and I'm not saying he has anything to hide, but I'm just saying the way he responded, it didn't come across very, it didn't make him look good. Let's just say that.
I'm a Pacquiao no-hugger, but I don't know what to say to that. I'm gonna just stay quiet.
I mean, obviously, you
know,
got to think for yourself, but.
I've spoken to so many people about this whole thing, Chris. And you know what's funny is that, you know, you got all this technology now. You got Twitter, you got Facebook, you got whatever, okay? You know, and really it's been the main focus, not the focus of Pacquiao and Kalati or Mayweather or Mosley, a possible match between those guys, or even this coming weekend we got a great matchup between Gamboa and Montagua, and which I think that's the shine of the card between the two fights are happy with Juanma Lopez and Steven Luvano. But everybody keeps talking about, hey, what do you think? What do you think? And man, you know, everybody's got a great input about, and I know Strike was on the line, he would disagree, but the actions, man, keep leaning a little bit heavier on a guy that may be guilty a little bit. It just seems like he just keeps running around. We were supposed to have Freddie Roach on today, but since, you know, they're doing their tour for their fight coming up in Texas on March 13th, we're not going to be able, we got to reschedule for next week. But it's, if you're a Manny fan, like Rob said right now, look, I'm a Manny, a nut hugger, but I can't even back that up. How do you back that up, blood? How do you, if you're supporting Pacquiao, you know, and you're a true Pacquiao fan and you're hoping and you're believing, but you hear this guy say, you know what, I don't want anything to interrupt my camp. How do you back up?
Well, what are they going to ask for next? A certain brand of shoelace? before they fight? I mean, come on, man. This is ridiculous. These guys are asking for this and that. Mayweather's asking for shit, too. So both of them, you know, Manny, just go out and take the test, man. Take the test and show us what legacy is all about. Obviously, it didn't mean a lot to him. It didn't mean anything. Legacy don't mean nothing to Manny Pacquiao like everyone thought it did. You know, I mean, come on, look at the money he's getting paid for this. That's what makes him look guilty, is that he don't want to take this test, and, you know, it seems like he's hiding something. It does. It just seems like he's hiding something. Now, we're not accusing him of hiding something, but it does seem that way.
For anyone interested, this interview, it's a 2.5-minute interview. It's on ESPN.com on the boxing section. So if you want to go see what I'm talking about, you can go check it out for yourself.
Definitely.
These guys want advantages. These guys, they want to be baby, and they want advantages. And then they want to start comparing themselves to fighters of the past and who didn't have no advantages. But these guys want every damn advantage in the book, and then they want people to call them the greatest. Nigga, please.
Well, you know, this is the only way I can kind of bring up the whole scenario of this. Is it's like you suspect somebody stealing something and they put it in their pocket. You go up to them and you say, listen, I thought, you know, somebody told me so-and-so said you may have taken something, or, you know, an item that does not belong to you. Can you empty your pocket? And the person's like, nah, I don't want to do that. You know, I'll do it later. Well, I'll tell you what, why don't we wait till the police get it, and then you take out you can take out whatever you want out of your pocket. No, I don't want to do that either. So, you know what I'm saying? He may be innocent, but if you're innocent, just go, okay, well, here, man, this is it. I don't got nothing. All I got are my keys, my wallet, you know, and 3/4, because I'm broke.
I mean, it's not like Mayweather isn't getting blood taken from him, too. You know, they both is not something special for Manny. They both getting the same thing. I mean, if he was an Olympic boxer, he would have had to go through it. All kind of athletes have to go through it. What makes him more special than any other athlete, other than the fact that they pick and choose who they want him to fight and under what weight classes, and then build him to be this legend that he ain't? He ain't no more special than anybody else, man. The other athletes take the test. Whether it's another sport or not.
He needs to ask Mosley to take the test, too. Well,
that's fine. They should all take the test, then. They need to come up with a new... Because, obviously, people have been cheating in sports. People have been cheating in baseball, all these sports. People have been cheating. So, you know, go ahead and test all these fighters. Test them out.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, like it looks suspicious that Mayweather would go against a dude who's actually tested positive for steroids before. And, you know, if he doesn't really say nothing to Mosley, then, you know, why is he accusing Pacquiao, who's never tested positive? So that's why.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know, because that fight ain't even done. Let's just see if that fight even gets signed first. Then we can start thinking about that, which in today's boxing, it'd be a damn well surprising as hell if any good fight gets signed with the way these fighters are acting nowadays, like a bunch of prima donnas.
Can I say something real quick? Why is it that we don't want to discuss the angle that maybe one or both of these guys have reasons to want to avoid the fight? I know we don't want to talk about that, but maybe it's just as simple as that. It's like, you know, maybe they're like, you know what, I don't want to fight the other guy, you know, if I'm Manny, if I'm Floyd. You know, I mean, if you think about it, both guys are very careful because they're megastars. They're very careful in choosing their matches. You know, their trainers can't make sure they fight guys that are not only worthwhile at the box office, but are also, you know, possible opponents for them to defeat. You know, I mean, nobody wants to say it, but I'm sure we all think it, which is like, you know, maybe in some way, Manny's camp or Floyd's camp, where both of them think, you know, we might not be able to beat this other guy, so then let's just look for reasons to be stubborn and let's get out of this thing. I mean, why aren't we talking about that?
Well, it's like
they didn't
want to
fight. They didn't
want to
fight. Then neither one of them want to fight. That's what it boils down to.
Especially with 24/7 today, you know, it can all be scripted beforehand and say, you know what, we can build this fight up a little bit more, have a little bit more controversy, you know, so why don't we just give it time, do this and do that, you know, so I wouldn't be surprised if these guys are just undergoing procedures just to, you know, build up the fight more.
Yeah,
well the fight's been built up as big as it's going to be built up. I mean, they need to just go on ahead and fight or just move on. And it looked like Manny Pacquiao moves on because he's fighting Claudio. So now the question is who is Mayweather going to fight? That's what we waiting to see, and we don't want to see him fight Malignaggi or nobody like that. We're sick and tired of those kind of fights. If he wants to call himself a pound for pound, he need to fight a pound for pound caliber opponent.
Well, the positive is if the fight doesn't come off, you know, at least we get Claudio Pacquiao out of it, and, you know, hopefully we'll get that Mayweather-Mosley. And, you know, if we do get Pacquiao-Claudio, though, it will be interesting to see if he fights him at 147, because, you know, if he fights Claudio at 147, there is going to be a lot of questions as why he wouldn't fight, why he wouldn't let Cotto fight at 147. Not that
Cotto's
he,
a beast. No,
Cotto is a beast, I'll give him that. So.
Well, with Claudio, he don't have to worry about the testing either. He could do his normal thing. He could piss urine. He could use his Freddie Roach's urine, whoever, you know. So, you know, hey, there's not going to be no questions there when he fights Claudio. So he could go, he could juice up if that's what he's doing. I ain't saying that's what he's doing, but, you know, he ain't going to be required to do all the things he would have been required to do against Mayweather. So that's why they just need to clean it up. They need to let all these people, you know, boxing is already corrupt as hell, but they need to clean it up, and it needs to start with this drug testing.
Now, Ruff and Blood, I mean, to be fair, you know, it's not just today where, like, mega fights, you know, fights that people want to see that make the most sense didn't happen for some reason. I mean, you know, if we look back carefully, you know, this kind of stuff happens, you know, during all the eras of boxing. So, you know, to be fair, it's not just like we're so messed up today that this can't happen. But, I mean, this is some of the worst things that can happen and only.
Not on this caliber, not on this scale. Things have happened in boxing in the past, but not on this scale. Number one, to be fair to the fighters that they want to compare themselves to, they ain't even had no steroids back then. So, you know, we can't even talk about that when we're talking about Ray Robinson and Armstrong and people like that, you know. But, you know, just to be fair to them. But, yeah, there's always been a little controversy in boxing, but it's getting worse and worse, and that's why boxing seems to be going downhill again. It seemed like things were picking up, but now it's going downhill again. Boxing will never die, but right now the sport is looking kind of dull.
I'm fitting to make a video called Boxing Shit Happens. That's to be the logo right there.
I disagree. I'm looking forward to a lot of the fights coming up. We still got that Super 6 tournament. We got some good fights coming up this weekend, too. You know, nothing great, but, you know, we got a couple of matchups to look forward to on HBO.
Do they say who's going to take Jermaine Taylor place yet in the Super 6?
You take.
Yeah, the winner of, you wish. The winner of Alex Green versus Saki Obika is taking that slot.
Oh, now boxing seriously done took a fucking flip downhill. What the hell is this shit? Oh, my God. I'm about to hang up. I'm depressed now.
Speaking about being depressed right now, man, we got DeMarco should be calling in. I know they're having a tough time because they're in Mexico right now, so the weather is really honestly being a factor. You know, his PR is texting me saying they're having a tough time getting a signal for him to call in, so we got to just hold off for a little bit. So while we're doing that, I think we're going to go on a quick break. And then we'll come right back. And, you know, I got a quick question. I was able to pose it to some of the guys. I don't know if the rest of the guys would got my email or anything, but even the people in the chat room, or if you want to call in and give us your take about it, you can call in at 347-215-7598. Here it is. This is what I'm asking. Who are the five champions that will stay champions this year, and who are the five that won't be champions this year? I'm a little curious about who people think that are legitimate champions and who people think is not a legitimate champion. So when we come back from a short break or leaving the ring, call in, and fellas that are on the panel, give me your take, all right?
Yeah, hello. Is this Boston Douglas? Yeah, well, don't worry about who it is. It's a unanimous caller. Yeah, look, I'm just a fan who's a little concerned about your career right now. Yeah, I saw the fight you had with Mike Tyson. You beat him pretty bad. You know, I think you should fight him again. Yeah, like tomorrow. What? All right, so it's me. Yeah, so what? Well, how'd you know I disguised my voice? Come on, Buster, you gonna fight me or what? Oh, please. Come on, it's not going too good with the Bruins, man. Well, just loan me the belt for the weekend. Great, fine. I'm giving Robin's mother your number.
You ain't heard about the team. A vision shining, don't rock shoes without the gleam. Like fast cars with them dark tanks on it. Went from Mac Mike to West with drops on it. It ain't a secret, niggas been new our style. How we pop Chris now, opinion get wild. Pop piss styles, don't get too dramatic. Still even sipping left for avalanches. Plus I like CDs in the big old trucks. And the big body rims that dry these hoes nuts. And how we hit the club, whole clique be tooled up. Tattooed up, but clowns be tooled up. $2, don't let the liquor tempt you and have your face hanging on obituary pictures. You know how I roll up, crossed up, juice crossed up, drank and eat up. Y'all niggas know our style, too loud. My wrist out, buy the bars out. You know how I roll up, crossed up, juice crossed up, drank and eat up. Y'all niggas know our style, too loud. My wrist out, buy the bars out. Love to see the sun hit the ice and gleam, and the money read the mouths when it's cow. Having money is a ritual. Trying to stay fat like jailhouse for criminals. Living networks that's worth about a million. We all in, living this life a try living. By any means, gotta get these boo-boo bucks. Cause for every G I miss, I get a boo-boo rush. In a bed with my plans, get boo-boo touched. Found with the bitches, dog, boo-boo dump. I promise that, I need every dollar stat. Understand that, like to spend large raps. Check the gang, nigga, do it just like that. Love lost and hard over flossing ass track. Best learn the letters, double MPT. Multi-million-dollar team, nigga, y'all gon' see. You know how to roll up, roll up. Dudes crossed up, drink and eat up. Y'all niggas know our style, too loud. Got Chris Sal, buy the bars out. You know how to roll up, roll up. Dudes crossed up, drink and eat up. Y'all niggas know our style, too loud. Got Chris Sal, buy the bars out. The team get it right, we gon' change the game. I suggest that the industry get used to the name. Double MDC, multi-million-dollar team, and we push everything from the coupe to the beam. Rock big jewels with no record deal. Drive big cars with them big long wheels. My corporation, all about big faces. Death West, nigga, y'all know the location. Might see a thief in a van or a truck, hanging out the side door, trying to get at a slut. When you see slow walk, you see the juice bust. 9 times out of 10, dog, I'm brutally drunk. Interfere with my plans, get severely touched. And if you're lucky, need a team, dog, severely bluff. We need a hammer cock, dog, ready to blow. And leave a nigga splash like an H2O.
And we're back on the team. And anyways, the question I had, and hopefully you guys have your list, because I got my list here, is the 5 champions that are here to stay for this year and the 5 champions that are here to go. I know some happened. A couple of people were kind of kicked off of the show. They dropped their calls, but hopefully they'll call back in. So I'm going to go real quick. I think I'm gonna go with Chris. 916 Chris, who's your 5 pick, man, of who stays and who's your 5 pick and who goes?
All right, who's staying? The Klitschko brothers are staying. That goes without saying. Everybody knows that. I also got Timothy Bradley because he just looks like he's getting better and better. I got Chris John because the guy's still undefeated, and I just don't really see anyone in the featherweight division aside from maybe Gamboa or Lopez, who I don't think he's gonna fight this year or is gonna challenge him. Ivan Calderon, that guy doesn't lose. He rules that division. And Koki Komeda, because he is big money in Japan, and he's not going to fight anyone that's a legitimate threat. So, and as far as who's going, Steve Luaveno, who I think is losing this weekend to Juan Manuel Lopez, Juan Urango, that division's pretty stacked. He's a good, solid fighter, but I just think there's a lot of guys at the division could take him out. Andre Ward, he's fighting, I believe he's fighting the winner of Alan Green, Saki Obika. I believe he could win and beat either of those guys. Lushan Bute, he's the dope, and, you know, all his toughest challengers are the guys in that tournament, so he can't fight any of them. And either Felix Sturm or Kelly Pavlik, I don't know which one of those guys, if they fight each other or, you know, obviously one of them will hold the title, but either Sturm or Pavlik, one of those two is going to hold the middleweight title throughout the year.
Man, that's a good list, brother. I mean, you did some, you went into some in-depth thinking about that one. That's great. So I tell you what, some of those names I didn't even think about it, and you pretty much picked them out of the hat. Robert out of Puerto Rico, brother, who you got, man? Five who's going to stay, and the five that are going to go.
The five who's going to stay, Muhammad Ali. No, I'm joking. Let me stop. The Klitschko brothers, Bute, Timothy Bradley, blah, 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 blah. Let me see. Yeah, Calderon. But I think Calderon might retire. I think he might spontaneously retire this year, so I'm really not too steady about saying him. But anyway, he's going to retire with the belt, right? So I think, believe it or not, as much as a fan as I am of my boy, I think Pacquiao's flirting with death this year, so I think he's going to lose the title this year towards the end. I think Mosley's going to lose it, whatever fucking title he has, because I'm pretty sure they gave him a title. Kelly Pavlik. Yeah, I think he won it when he fought Margarito. Kelly Pavlik, if he steps up and fights, you know, fucking Bute like they're flirting with.
You know, that's a good point, if Kelly Pavlik steps up. Yeah, but that's the problem. You know, the problem is some of the names that you're mentioning, there's some of the guys, even on Chris's list, is some of those guys really don't either have anybody in their division that can threaten their title, or they're not fighting anybody. You know, like Ivan Calderon, there's a guy that there's just nobody in his division. He's such in the tiny weight division that there's really nobody there that can put him up to the test. And the people that were supposed to put him up to the test, like Hugo, they just weren't able to do anything. He made it look more like a spar session, a run through the park, you know. Go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry, man. Continue your list.
Yeah, to add on to your point about the Calderon division, there's actually under like 1,000 men in that division, and if you actually do the math of opponents he's faced and the opponents his opponents have faced, they pretty much have already fought each other. But, nonetheless, Marcos Maidana, I heard that Khan fight is going to happen, and I really think Khan's probably going to pick him off in that fight and not fight a stupid fight like Ortiz did. But I'm a big fan of Maidana, so, you know, it's whatever. But those are my picks of who's going to stay and who's going to go.
I got to agree with you on that. I think that Khan is probably a little bit, you know, I know a lot of people are judging what happened to Khan in the Prescott fight, but seeing that Prescott has, you know, this lackluster of performances in his last other fights, Khan has seemed like stepping up to the plate and making himself look a lot better. And Marcos Maidana, to me, really honestly, a lot of people are going like, oh, he's a great fighter because he did what he did to Victor Ortiz. But, Rob, you hit it right on the nail there when you said Victor just fought the wrong fight. He was winning the first couple of rounds, but then he just got into a slugfest. Where Khan, I think Khan has learned his lesson, getting knocked out so early in the first round against Prescott, that and being under the tutelage of Freddie Roach and having the chance to be at the wild card gym and just really doing some sparring with an international gym, because that's what the wild card is about. It's an international gym. You got guys from Ireland. You get guys from, you know, Samoa. You get guys from Mexico, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, you name it. You get so many people, a whole variety of different fighters to come in to the wild card that it makes your game that much better. And I think Khan is getting fed the right information, he's getting the right stats and the right game plan to get in with Maidana and really pepper him up and probably even bring back a little bit of his Olympian style into that fight, because Madonna's not a good fighter. I hate to say it. I mean, Dave Chen, what do you think? You think Madonna's a good fighter? Or does he have a chance against a season, a guy that's really been showing he's starting to step up to what people have been hyping him up to be, the next great champ coming out of the UK?
I think Madonna will beat a lot of people. I don't think he'll beat Khan. I think he's a good fighter, but in that division of his, I don't think he's going to be anything special, you know. And the guy doesn't really have a lot of skills, you know. He's just like, just kind of a tough guy, you know, tough guy to deal with, you know. But limited, and in this sport at the world level, that's not enough.
Exactly, you know. And Dave, well, since we got Dave on right now, Dave, who are your five fighters that are going to stay for the O-10, and the five fighters that are going to go on the O-10?
Okay, for fighters that are staying, one, I got Sergio Martinez, no matter where he is. I think he still has a junior middleweight belt, and I think he's not going to lose that anytime soon, even if he chooses to fight in middleweight, so on and so forth. I think he'll be good enough to like beat a lot of the guys that he could potentially be matched up with. I think another guy is Juan Manuel Marquez. If he goes back to lightweight and fight some of the guys there, I mean, he's going to prove once again that, you know, how dare we forget that he lays these guys down flat. You know what I mean? He's going to do something like that again to one of those younger guys, and he's going to get back on top of his game, you know, hopefully before he retires. I think Chris Jones is going to stay a champion. I think Andre Ward will actually stay a champion. And lastly, and very important, I think Chad Dawson is going to look very good this year because, you know, this is a young guy with a lot of potential, physical gifts, athleticism, got the skills, and has a great trainer. And in that division of his, there's really only a couple guys that could even give him a challenge. And I think, both are fights worth winning. So I think he's going to really come out, you know, this year since he really put away anybody that even hold a claim to having possibly gotten anywhere near to beating him, you know, which is really only Glenn Johnson.
Wait, what name was that? Chad Dawson?
Chad Dawson.
I don't believe he has a title. I think he vacated it to fight his last fight.
I think
yeah,
he vacated. He vacated to, but he, you know, would it be fair to say he will become champion this year? You see what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, that's what I mean. I think he's going to get a title fight with one of the fellow, you know, guys who hold a belt in his division and be like, you know what, thank you for holding on to that for me. Now,
it don't even matter. He's the champ. He's the light heavyweight champ.
Absolutely.
You know, people can say what they want if he has one of those alphabet belts or not.
Now, for guys who are going to lose their titles, I think one is David Haye. I think as long as he doesn't hijack that belt and he steps in the ring with either Klitschko brother, he's going to lose that title immediately. As soon as the fight is signed against either of them, I officially consider him dead. Right? Yeah, and I hope he doesn't get Vitaly Klitschko because Vitaly is going to leave him looking like something that the Predator left behind.
Like as a piece of it.
Yeah. I think Felix Sturm, if he gets out of Germany and fights with Kelly Pavlik like they've been talking, I think he loses that belt. You know, he's kind of a decent fighter. A lot of people don't know him. They forget that he's the guy that they robbed so that Oscar can get his sixth world title, so on and so forth. You know, he's a decent fighter, but, you know, he's so limited, and Kelly Pavlik can take him. Absolutely. Now, another guy that I think is going to lose his title is Humberto Soto, because I don't like how he looked at lightweight. I think it's going to be one of those things where he stops being a title holder at 160, which he was able to do because he's kind of a strong guy at 130. At 130, I mean. But when he moves up to 135 and face some of those tough lightweights, I don't think he's going to be able to get himself back in the title picture. So I think he's just going to become an opponent at that weight. And honestly, you know, I had some other choices, but, you know, you guys kind of covered them, so I think I'll leave it at that.
You know, yeah, man. I mean, you know, I think everybody's bringing a good list, you know. Blood, everybody's, I know people are wondering where Strikecard's at. I see in the chat room. I'm getting emails and here on Facebook.
I can tell you that. Nate Campbell. What's that other guy? Claudio.
Nate Campbell. And probably also Nate Campbell.
And Timothy Bradley's going to lose.
No, but we love strike cards. That's the brother from
around
the bottom
right
here.
You know, Bernard Hopkins still fighting Roy Jones. You know, he's trying to come up with a way to explain that one away. I don't blame him.
Oh,
it's
man.
Hard.
He bit some glass when that came out.
Oh, why that fight's even, I don't even know why. I mean, who's going to want to watch that fight? I mean,
that piece of shit. That fight is a piece of shit. Hopkins is an old fart being protected for the past year and a half fighting bullshit fights, and Roy Jones tried to be protected and failed at being protected. That's how old these two men are. Originally got knocked the fuck out by a punch at his ear.
Blood, you on the line, brother?
Yeah.
You agree on that? You think that Bernard Hopkins was protected for a certain amount of years?
What happened?
Man, at this point, man, you know, he need a little bit of, you know, Social Security protection because of his age and everything. But, you know, man, he put his time in, man. You know what I'm saying? With Hopkins, you know, at this point, you know, just let him fight who he wants to fight. You know, he was champ for 10 years at middleweight. Nobody could do nothing with him. So he's put his time in. He served his time, man.
I hate that dude, but I respect him enough to not bitch about him. But
Come on, look at his age, man. He's still in there fighting. You know, if he don't want to fight Chad Dawson, so be it. Whatever. You know, that's the way
him.
I look at it.
But I don't blame him for not fighting Chad Dawson. Why fight Chad Dawson, to tell you the truth? You know what I mean? That fight to me really spells...
Personally, Ruff, I would like to see him fight Johnson again. Lane Johnson before Roy Jones. I think that'd be more interesting to me. I think to hardcore boxing fans, that would be a more legitimate fight. If you're going to do a flashback, you know, a 1990s flashback.
Exactly. You know, like I said, we're trying to get to Marco, but for some reason the weather is not allowing him to call in. We're still going to be doing our best. At 6:30, we do got Richard Gutierrez calling in to chop it up with this upcoming fight, February 6th. This is a tough veteran contender, you know, who stepped in with Angulo and gave Angulo a run for his money, among other contenders that he stepped in the ring with. We do got Tommy the Duke Morrison scheduled for next week and Freddie Roach scheduled in for next week. And I'm trying to think who else we got. I think we did push over the Joel Casamayor for next week. I'm not really sure. I got to get that, you know, verified.
You going to let me give him a five, though, bro?
What was that, brother?
Let me give him a five, bro. I got a different five for y'all that none of y'all got.
Oh, yeah. Let me hear your five, bro.
Okay, man. You know, this year, man, I think Riddick Bowe going to hold on to it. I think Pernell Whitaker, Virgil Hill, Julio Cesar Chavez will hold his shit if he don't fight Pernell Whitaker and Roy Jones. And the fighters who are going to lose, I say Terry Norris, Michael Carbajal. Oh, shit, man, I'm having a throwback moment. I thought we was in the 90s, man. My bad. Let me be real.
Wait a minute.
I'm in the
right
there. Give me a
five.
A throwback moment is what I had just for a second. But the firefighters, definitely two of the firefighters are the Klitschko brothers. I think they'll still be champs at the end of the year. You know, I know Eddie Chambers is getting ready to take him an L, so, you know, and I think a few more people will be taking some L's throughout this year. I think Timothy Bradley going to hold on to his stuff this year. And definitely, I think y'all already said Paul Williams and Dawson. And whether they have alphabet belts or not, I can't keep up with these alphabet belts no more. I don't care. I'm looking at who I see as the champ because the alphabet belts don't mean much no more.
Absolutely,
and,
yeah.
And the guys who I think are going to take some losses this year that are top fighters, for some reason, man, I just think Pavlik is going to get it. I think he's going to get served.
Oh, he's a top fighter? I didn't even know that.
He's gonna get served. He's supposed to be the middleweight king, right? He never lost the middleweight, right? He's the middleweight king. So, I think given the right opponent, he goes down this year. I ain't sold on Amir Khan like y'all. I think Amir Khan is hype. I think he'll get it when his kind. I don't know if Madonna will do it or not, but I think he's gonna get it. They better continue to protect him. Carl Froch is going to get it this year. I know he's in the Super 6 tournament, so it's kind of hard to put those guys in this little thing here, but, you know, because they're all fighting each other. But I think I think Carl Froch is definitely going to get it this year. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think Kessler would probably beat him. But if not Kessler, he going to get served this year. I guarantee you Carl Froch would not make it through this year without taking the L.
I don't think he's going to make it through this. You know what? Everybody's list is great because there's some names in there that really, really stand out, like Carl Froch, David Hay. But the Klitschko brothers, I got to say, I think one of them is not going to be champion this year. And I know some of you guys are going to
What?
Yeah, I really believe the one that's not going to be champion this year is going to be Vitaly Klitschko. I think
Why?
He will no longer be a champion. Because
Who
I think he's going
to... And I'm surprised you picked him, too.
No, but I'll tell you why. Because I think he's going to retire by the end of this year. If he doesn't get that significant fight that he's been wanting with David Hay, you know, I think he's just going to hang it up. Because in all honesty, who's out there for him to fight? Nobody anymore. There's really nobody out there to really kind of clean up the division. So I would say, older brother says,
you know what I say, man? I say go on ahead and give David Tua, James Toney, and Holyfield shots just based on their names because the heavyweight division is boring anyways. Go on and give those three guys a shot. They never got a chance with the Klitschkos. So give them boys right there a shot.
You trying to get Holyfield killed?
Hey, he been wanting the Klitschkos. He been wanting them. Might as well let him. He did pretty good against the Giant himself. I thought he beat the Giant.
James Toney wanted to take over the world. That motherfucker
dead. James Toney calls him the Klitschko sisters. That's what he called them. Let him go on fight him to see if they can shut James Toney up.
Yeah, blood, but James Toney's not even a boxer anymore. He's an MMA star.
Yeah, that's some bull right there, man. That's some, hey, I don't know about that right there. If James Toney was on the air, I don't know if I'd tell him that, but I don't know, man. You know, I don't know about him in MMA, bro. But you might as well go on and throw James Toney up in there. You know what I'm saying? Get a man and get David Tua.
You know, David Tua would be a good name for him to step into the ring, but I don't think David Tua, I think it'd be another replica of what Lennox Lewis did to David Tua, which was use the jab and make it a cautious fight, but it would be a little bit more exciting because Vitaly would probably drop some more right hands than Lennox did, but I don't see a 5'10 David Tua who really doesn't know whether he's coming in at 230 or 280 is going to do much to Vitaly. And really, what does it do for Vitaly Klitschko except put a little bit more money into his pocket? But for legacy-wise,
I don't
think
neither one of those three guys win, but I just say maybe you're talking about him retiring, but maybe he could go out on a fight that he should have had or something. You know what I'm saying?
I think if he fights any of them, it ruins his career because he'll get bashed, so bashed if he fights Holyfield or if he fights any other aged American heavyweight. You know how American
fans. Well, what about some of these other guys
they've
been fighting?
Oh, well, I'd rather he fight a bum than get bashed for fighting James Toney.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I can agree with that one.
But I like James Toney. I'd like to see the press conference, though. Just to see the
I think that Vic Darchinian, he'll get served if he don't stop getting cocky in there and he better learn how to box this year or somebody going to serve him. He'll take another loss. And David Hay. Those are my last two.
David Hay, I believe if it's true or not, John Ruiz is going to get a shot at him. I don't see that being a major threat to David Hay. Then there's some talk of Bernard Hopkins if after his fight with Roy Jones of him stepping in with David Hay. Really, if David Hay gets both those fights, he will remain champion this year. It depends if he decides to get in with one of the Klitschko brothers or even Chris Lamer or Oriella. I think Oriella would have a more of a chance of knocking out David Hay than any of the other two that David Hay plans to face, which would be Hopkins or Ruiz. So, yeah, I could see that. But that's, like I said, if he steps in there with a real major heavyweight threat.
And Ruiz might upset him. Ruiz has a good chance to upset him, I think. You know, I think Ruiz has a chance to take a distance, fight, win this fight off the distance, maybe.
then the reason to hug him to stop the train hate train.
On blood, that is not going to happen.
I just say he has a chance. You know, if I had to bet money, I probably wouldn't bet, but I just say he has a chance because I ain't too impressed by David.
You got plenty of money. I seen you flash that money, and I'm going to bet you some money on that fight. He's an easy payday.
Like I said, you know, we're waiting for Antonio DeMarco to call in, but for with the weather conditions, you know, for Ben to call in. So I apologize that Guadalupe DeMarco, who hopefully does call in a few more minutes. If not, we do have our next guest, which we'll be calling at 6:30, which is Richard Gutierrez, and he'll be calling in and chopping up a little bit with us about his upcoming fight, February 6th, I believe at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas. Is that right, Chris?
Which fight are we speaking of again? My bad.
Gutierrez.
Yeah, let me check that out real quick. It's going down on Showtime, February 6th, and it is at Monterey. No, it's in Arena Monterey, Monterey, Mexico. That can't be right. But it says it's in Monterey, Mexico.
Oh, there you go. Well, I thought it was at the Hard Rock. My bad. No, Monterey, Mexico. Woo! What's going on? I got a couple fights happening in Mexico. You know?
Mexico is the home of boxing. That's where it's at. It's one of the places that goes hard for boxing.
That's absolutely right, man. You can draw a huge crowd in Mexico. If you never attend, I've attended a fight in Mexico, man. Like I said, it's something else. It's a lot different here in the States. A lot different. You know,
that's on the because the Valero fight's going down there against Antonio DeMarco, and Valero can't get the license in the States, and DeMarco is out of Mexico, so.
Right.
I think it's great, actually. I think it's great. So, you know, we're going to actually get to open the fans' eyes to fights that are not happening on American soil.
Man, y'all don't, if y'all are not, just be boxing fans, and tell me, on the real now, Bernard Hopkins versus Roy Jones. Now, come on. Is this not a complete waste of time, y'all?
That's a waste of time, brother. Come on. That's... Please.
Now, who really want to see this fight? Who wants to see this fight? Do anybody out there want to see this fight? Please, email us. Let us know. This is a fight that's any significance.
Oh, I can tell you one person right now. I can tell you one person right now who wants to see this shit. Buddhist eye.
Nah, I don't even think. You know what? It's so bad. I don't even think Buddhist I want to see this fight.
Don't
nobody
want to
see this fight
for like 5 years. And as soon as he gets wind of this shit, he comes out. Oh, I gotta go for my boy Roy Jones. Fuck that! Hit that bullshit.
We haven't even thought about this angle because how about this? Because we know Roy don't have a chin anymore, but Hopkins don't hit that hard. What if Roy beats Hopkins? What does that even mean?
Well, I think he will. I think he will beat Hopkins, actually.
What?
I think he just has his number. I think it's just that dude where, you know, Roy can fight and beat Hopkins.
I got Roy Jones in that
fight,
in all honesty.
I can't see that.
This is worth seeing.
Let me tell you this. Well, I'm going to tell you why Roy can't beat Bernard right now. One, Roy now likes to lean on those ropes. You know, you can walk down Roy a lot easier than you were able to back in the days. And HM, he can't punch that hard. He can. He can punch that. Let's not forget, he rocked Antonio Tarver. You know, he dropped Joe Calzaghe. Just the only thing is Bernard has never been a great finisher. He's a finisher. He's always been a very systematic type of boxer where he breaks down their opponents, you know, where he ends up making them submit. But going back to what Rob said, I can't see this Roy Jones of now defeating the Executioner. I think the Executioner will X him out. I don't think he'll knock him out, but I think he'll pepper him up enough to just get a point over him. And really, I see just a real point fight because I think Bernard will probably some type of mercy law with him, meaning that, you know what, I'm not going to embarrass this guy. I'll point him. You know, I'm just going to show him I'm the more superior boxer.
But why didn't he fight Green? Why not Green? I just don't understand why he ain't fight Green.
There's been some talk about that fight happening after. There's been some talk about that fight happening after, but it just didn't materialize. I mean, in real honesty, I don't think Green brings the star power, Blood, for Bernard Hopkins. And that's what Bernard Hopkins is looking at, the money-wise. I don't think he's looking at, the best fights that are out there. He's looking for the money fights. That's why he even dropped the name of fighting David Hay.
Actually, you know what? The Danny Green fight would have brought him a lot of money. I mean, Roy Jones got $3 million fighting Danny Green, but Danny Green, they want to do a 50-50 split, and Bernard wasn't having it. My question to you, Ruff, or Blood, or anyone else is, in regards to Roy Jones fighting Bernard Hopkins, do you guys think Roy's going to fight just to survive like he did in the third Tarver fight, where he got stunned in that fight, and the rest of the fight, he just played getaway. He just fought to survive the whole fight. He didn't even try to win.
I haven't seen Hopkins pressure somebody a full round in the past few years, actually. Not even the Pavlik fight. He didn't pressure Pavlik. He could have knocked out Pavlik if he would have pressured him the whole, like, for a full round, but he didn't. So I'm not really worried about Jones feeling like he's going to get hurt in this fight at all. But if Hopkins knocks him out, then, hey, you know, I'm not feeling confident with my decision, but I'm going to say Roy Jones should win. But I'm not confident with that.
And I bet some money on that one, didn't I? You know, we definitely got to line up the chips on this fight. But I think Hopkins should, you know, he doesn't have nothing to lose. And Roy Jones doesn't hit very hard, so it's not like he's going to make him pay a whole lot. So he might as well stalk him down, man, hunt him down, and finish, man. Finish him off, you know.
Exactly.
Send Roy Jones into retirement where he needs to be. And then maybe we could get some good promotions or something out of Roy Jones, man. I mean, the guy has a killer personality, you know. I'd like to see what he's going to bring to the table with the promotions and all that, man. But at this time, I don't really care to see too many more Roy Jones fights.
The dude beat Jeff Lake, man.
We're going to take a real quick break, guys. And then when we come back, I got another question. The question, if you're a fight fan and you want to call in and give your thought about this question I got, or give your answer of what you think about this question I'm about to pose, and this is for all the guys on the panel. Who do you think is going to be the fight that's going to be the most surprising out of 0-10? And who do you think is going to be the comeback kid out of 0-10? You know, we heard that Hector Camacho Sr. said he's the original comeback kid, but there's got to be one for this year. And we'll be right back. This is Leaving the Ring. If you're just tuning in, we're supposed to have Antonio DeMarco call in and Richard Gutierrez.
Fight fans, check out LightsOut.tv, the mobile fight channel. Text KO2-35620 to get mobile fight content right to your phone. Remember, text KO2-35620 at LightsOut.tv. You're listening to Leave It in the Ring, live boxing podcast radio. Remember to check out our sponsors, www.havocworldwide.com, thewillbebloodfightshow.com, standandfight.com, and the number one boxing website for women, Women's Boxing Archive Network, WBAN.com.
Bismillah, Edirak, man, Edirahim, to the gods. To the earth, pass that shit, man. Now tell me what y'all smoking, what kind of heat y'all holding, well is your creep move potent, I got a bunch of bullets in the bag of guns, I'll pass them to my niggas, come on, we by coasting, keeping our pockets bulging, we got the plan in motion, I got a bunch of bullets in the bag of guns, I'll pass them to my niggas, come on, zoom, from out of space he comes, blunt in his mouth with his hand on his gun. Bitches flapping their gums, do he be clapping and shooting guys? Actor or movie star, rapper revolutionized. What is his race, nation or creed? Is he Arabic, black, Latin, Asian? They read magazines say I walked on water, talked to the heavens, spit at judges, stepped on peasants. But in reality, I just entered the galaxy. September 73, up in these wild streets, fucking these wild freaks, a harem of hoes. And my mystique got them tearing my clothes. Now tell me what y'all smoking, what kind of heat y'all holding, well it's your creep move potent, I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns, I'll pass them to my niggas, come on, we by coasting, keeping our pockets bulging, we got the plan in motion, I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns, I'll pass them to my niggas, come on, my niggas smoke with one lung,
iffy coffee might die. Passing me trees, the liquor bottle's almost empty. We about to collide with the enemy. Only way you die if it's meant to be. You fucking with a general. No discussion is the principle. We busting, it's the end of you. Now we knocking on your mama door. Like we came to fix the sink. My kind of war. Death, angels coming for you. Spirit horse running from your body like Young Guns 1 and 2. Paramedics fighting for you. Who's gonna win? The hands of time or the hands of medicine? Don't cry, witness your fate. This is your weight. Walk by your casket, spit in your face. Into the fog, dog, the light is your guide. And when you're gone, all your niggas gone, light it with nine. Now tell me what y'all smoking. What kind of heat y'all holding? Well, is your creep move potent? I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns. I pass them to my niggas, come on. We by coasting. Keeping our pockets bulging. We got the plan in motion. I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns. I pass them to my niggas, come on. Pardon, but I got a question of life now. Look at the nigga next to you right now. Is he real, fake, or scared? Do it like this, niggas, right hands in the air. Ball it to a fist and put it over your heart. Now let's say it all together, let the ceremony start. I shall
stay real, stay true, stay holding figures. Never put a bitch over my niggas. I shall never cooperate with the law. Never snake me, I always hold you down in war. If they take one of mine, I take one of theirs. I never break the oath to the death, I swear.
I swear, that's how we pledge allegiance to the alliance of underworlds, killers and thugs. Though the science of a nigga still yet to be found. So light up some green and pass it around.
Now tell me what y'all smoking. What kind of heat y'all holding? Well, is your creep move potent?
I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns. I pass them to my niggas, come on.
We by coasting. Keeping our pockets bulging. We got the plan in motion.
I got a bunch of bullets in a bag of guns. I pass them to my niggas, come on.
Wanna get high, wanna smoke with me.
This nigga take this weed, about to go with my bitch house.
Get
my fuck on, nigga. Y'all niggas stay up.
Light it up, wanna get high, come smoke with me. Smoke with me. Light it up, wanna get high, come smoke with me. Smoke with me.
Yeah, man, we're back, and I hope you got your list ready of, well, not even a list, it's just two names of who you guys think is going to be the comeback kid and who's going to be the most surprising fighter of 010. Hey, Chris, 916, I'll go with you real quick. Who's the comeback kid that you think is going to be making the major comeback in 2010, and who's going to be the most surprising fighter that really is going to be coming out, and that you think is just going to shine a whole lot in this year of 2010?
As far as comeback kid, I think, man, I want to say Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, he got clowned in that Mayweather fight. I don't know if he's going to stay at 140. If he is, he might fight Haddon if he goes back to lightweight. I think he can rule lightweight maybe for another year or so. As far as come out, they're like the breakout star. Do you mean a guy that's already established or a guy that's kind of, you know, just coming up from nowhere?
I say either established or a guy that's coming out of nowhere. It's up to you or whatever you think.
I think Timothy Bradley's going to have another strong year. I don't really know who he's going to fight, but that division's pretty stacked. And aside from him, I don't know. I'm hoping to see a good year from Nonito Donaire. And I'm not just saying that because we had him on. I mean, the guy's a good fighter, and he sounds like he's ready to take on any challengers, including the rematch with Darchinian. You know, I know he kind of blew up after that. He kind of got a lot of shine after that Darchinian win, but he's still kind of under the radar with a lot of the mainstream. So I'm hoping to see a good year out of Donaire.
You know, I'd like to see Nonito Donaire get his time, you know, in the slot. And the reason being is because he has been in the shadows of Manny Pacquiao and really been put in the back burner from Top Rank, his promotional company, that it'd be really good to see him this year really get the opportunities that his skills obviously are able to pay for, you know. And I think that not only would he be good for the Philippines, but he would be good for all around hardcore fight fans that really truly like a technical fighter with some pop behind their punches. I'll go with Blood. Brother, who do you got, man? Who's the comeback kid?
Is the comeback kid?
Yeah.
The comeback kid, I think it's going to be Bruce Seldon. Nah, let me stop. Probably, you know who I would like to see make a comeback, but I don't really know it. I always said this, that if he was focused, that I think he could be a major factor again, is Zab Judah.
Dab Judah, yeah.
I think Super Judah, if he got in there, got focused, got his head straight, got in the gym, I think he's got the skills, man, but I don't think he's ever really been dedicated, man.
Right.
I think he's just been raw talent, but he's still kind of young, and, you know, he's just coming off of a nice knockout win, and you know, if he campaigns at junior welter rather than welter, I think he could be a major player again. So I say Zab Judah would be my choice, who I would like to see as far as the comebacks. I'm not really sure on too many people who are making that comeback right now. When you say comeback, do you mean coming back off of a loss or being retired for a while?
It could be either way. It could come off of a loss or come back from a retirement. You know, yeah, I mean, I'd love to see Zab Judah come back in the division, you know, because I think just his name alone and his skills alone, he could possibly give Timothy Bradley a very decent payday or a fight. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly.
And being right now, I don't think anybody right now in the 135 or 140 division are really looking at Timothy Bradley as a future opponent at this moment. Just seeing what he's done, you know, of his ledger of fighters that he's stepped in the ring with, I think it's already draw a caution tape around him at this moment, you know. I like that. Come back kid for Zab Judah. Now, who's the guy that you think that's gonna who's gonna shine a whole lot for O-10?
You know, I think O-10 is gonna be a year for Sergio Martinez, man. I think that he's finally gonna get the recognition he deserves. I mean, I don't think it was nothing to do with Williams looking bad. I just think he was in there with one hell of a fighter that has been under the radar for quite some time now. So I see him shining in 2010, and believe it or not, I see Andre Durrell, man, coming off that loss he had. I think he's going to come big in 2010, and you know what, man, I even favor him to win the tournament, even over Ward.
I heard that, man. I like that. Andre Durrell, I think you might be right about that name, you know, and you're right. The kid, Andre Durrell, first off, showed he has the goods, just not the full maturity of a fighter when he did step in with Frotch, you know. I know a lot of fight fans were turned off by his tactic of running around in the ring, but he does have pop. And you got to admit, at the 168 division, this kid is probably the fastest in that division, you know, and the more gifted. I would say he's even more gifted than Andre Ward. The only difference with Andre Ward is that Andre Ward is a little bit more seasoned. He's been around a little longer than Andre Durrell, but Durrell to me has everything he needs in a champion, to stay champion and to really shine like a shining star that I think that you're saying of O-10. I think he's going to have the possibility of really blowing up if he can, you know, gather his thoughts and bring in the maturity into his factor of skills. I'll go.
If he gets this next fight, man, he's going to coast the rest of the year. If he gets through this next fight, he's going to coast the rest of the year.
Well, he's going
to be on cloud nine.
If, you know what? If his next fight, if he's successful, we got to remember who he's stepping in with his next fight.
Mm-hmm.
It's being Arthur Abraham. Arthur Abraham is no Carl Frotch, first off. You know, Arthur Abraham, in my opinion, in that division, is probably the more sound fighter out of all of them. And I mean, not speed-wise, but I'm talking about skill level. Arthur Abraham has the tools of staying champion for a very long time, and even at 160, now we know why nobody wanted to face this cat at 160, because not only did he have power, he knows how to adjust, he knows how to dictate, he knows how to have great ring generalship, and he knows how to counter and lead. The guy can do it all, you know, but the only thing that he does lack is that speed factor. He's a modern.
But see, guys like Edison Miranda, even Jermaine Taylor with the little flicking out a little jab, they were right. They were there for the taking. I have a feeling that Durrell going to surprise some people, man.
You know what? You may be.
Just remember, I said that. All y'all, I do. All y'all big off Abraham fans. Just remember, I said that.
All right. Let's go real quick with David Chen, brother. Who are your two guys that you think? Your comeback kid, and who's going to shine on the year 2010?
I think the guy who's going to make a comeback is Miguel Cotto. I think he's going to come back and say, you know what? My only losses are against really tough opponents, you know. I lost to Manny, no shame in it. But there are still plenty of guys I can beat, and I'm not done with this sport. I think they're talking about him facing Yuri Foreman. I think he can easily win that fight. So don't sleep on Miguel Cotto yet. I think he can still look good. As for who's going to have a great year, I have to say my personal pick is Sergio Martinez because, I mean, look at what this guy did with just one good fight. You know, he's the proof that all you really need to do is challenge a tough opponent and then put all your skills on display, and then the fight fans will love you for it. I mean, he went from a kind of a guy with a style that nobody really cared for and this guy with a pretty boy image to this guy that all the fight fans are saying, this is a real pro. This is a guy with legitimate skills at the world level. And now that he's mixing it up in the middleweight division, maybe get a fight with Kelly Pavlik. I think he's just going to be one of those guys that, you know, you know he's not famous enough where he's going to get fights and he's not going to get canceled because of the drama of politics of boxing. And when he does get on the TV, when he does get in the ring, he's going to be impressive and the fans are going to love it. So I think it's going to be the year for Sergio Martinez.
Sergio Martinez obviously is a guy that if you didn't know anything about him and you were able to tune in or maybe catch it on demand with Paul Williams, you definitely want to know more about Sergio Martinez. This guy, really honestly, not only does he have good fast hands, he does pose a threat to anybody at 154 to 160, and the guy can take a punch. You know, he was beaten by Antonio Margarito, but I would say Margarito beat him at a time where he was not to the level that he's at right now. The pinnacle of where he's at this moment, Martinez obviously was not even close to that. Rob Riddler out of Puerto Rico, my brother, who do you got? Who's your comeback kid, and who is the guy that's going to shine in 2010?
Comeback kid could be a tie between this, I think it's a Saturday, with Mitagua, come back after that Juanma loss, that close Juanma fight, could come back and beat up on Gamboa, who's, you know, seems like HBO's looking for a cash cow in Gamboa, could come back and beat him. Marquez could come back and fight whoever, because, you know, all his options at light welterweight and lightweight, he can basically handle pretty much anybody in those weight classes. Cotto. But the one that's most likely to come back out of that bunch is probably Marquez. I'm not sure how strong Cotto is, especially against Foreman, who I've been hyping up since Foreman had his first fight. I like his style. But my comeback kid is a star. Amiri Khan, with the options being put in front of him, you know, all the fighters either fight on Showtime or HBO, so he's going to get a lot of attention, and they're beatable for him. So, you know, he could do something. Mitagua, you know, he can make another big whatever the fuck, you know, knock the shit out of Gamboa, and that could be like, oh my god. I don't really know who else could do it. Margarito, you know, Margarito.
That's a good name throughout there.
The storm's brewing. He's coming back on the undercard of Cotto of not Cotto Pacquiao. Yeah, I wish. Anyway. He's coming back on the Claudio Pack card, and yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all the guys I can
think about. Marg is going to have to get through the psychological shit because he's going to be under the microscope. You know, people are going to be looking at him very hard, and I think he's going to have a lot of other pressure to face other than his opponent in the ring. And it's like Margarito against the world right now, so he has a whole lot to prove.
Like the saying goes, any attention is good attention.
It could be bad attention, depending on how psychologically strong he is, depending on his mental mind state, you know.
He's gonna have to have
his chips together.
I also told Dave after the Cotto Margarito fight that Margarito might have came out a little damaged, you know. And then I've been telling people, you know, if that Cotto fight didn't damage him, then that Mosley fight, you know, Cotto put some dust on him, and Mosley dusted him off real quick.
Exactly.
So, who knows?
You know what? I think there's a lot of questions that are posing over Antonio Margarito right now. I mean, is he going to be the same guy? Are we going to see the same philosophy that comes when he steps in that ring like he used to? Can this guy...
Is he fighting for rough? Is he fighting at 147 or 154?
147, I think.
147, I believe. I don't see why he would switch up to 154. I'd like him to stick around at 147. You know, I think if anything, he needs to prove he was the best at one time at 147, you know, and stay there. Whether or not this year he can make a comeback
I was going to say that a good fight that makes sense right now with the drama they're going through, I think Berto could come back at the end of the year with the drama he's going through. And I don't see why not make a Berto Margarito match towards the end of the year, you know? See who can climb on top, see if Berto's the real deal, see if Margarito's really back. You know, why not?
We'll have to see what happens with Margarito coming up. Margarito, he's a risk factor right now for anybody. You know, for the top fighters, it's a risk factor for him. You know, nobody wants to just jump into in there with the guy who cheated, who, you know, they want to see what he's all about first, because you don't want to jump in there and lose, because it's kind of like it's a big risk, man, no reward, you know, in this situation. So I think that a lot of people are going to put Margarito on ice, man, for a little while.
I mean, exactly. I'm just saying, like,
I think the question is, does Margarito even deserve blood that chance to fight an elite fighter right now like Berto? I don't think he does. I think he needs 2 years, 3 years to build back his credibility among fight fans, because now just with Cotto fans or Puerto Rican fans, I think he's got a lot to answer to a lot of the Mexican fans that were following him and really being true to him at one time or another. You know, I know myself and a lot of other people that are Mexican descent, we're disappointed. You got to admit, we're a little disappointed in him putting in some type of foreign substance into his gloves and literally trying to damage a fighter that a lot of people have embraced and has admired for some time, which is Sugar Shane Mosley. And being that said, a lot of Mexican people have embraced and admired Miguel Cotto because of the rewards that he has given the fight fans. I mean, whether you're Caucasian or black or brown or yellow or green, it don't matter. What Miguel Cotto has brought to the table, you have fallen in love with. And Margarito obviously has destroyed any credibility that he had at one time with not just fight fans, but with people in general.
But nonetheless, he's coming back in the Cowboys Stadium. That's going to be jam-packed already. 60,000 are guaranteed there. That's going to be jam-packed. That's a big stage. It's the first time a boxing event has been actually held there. And
there'll be a lot of Mexican people there, too, in Dallas Stadium.
He's coming back as the co-main event, so, you know, I'm shocked that he's actually the co-main event. You know, Bob Arum is rubbing that dick, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so the problem is, though, the guy they're putting him in there with, man, is just, you know, you could tell that they're putting somebody in there that's very safe at this point. A young guy who, you know, got some losses on his record. I think it's a safe fight, which they're doing the right thing in that regards, but... It's going to be interesting to see how he performs. He's going to be under a lot of pressure because there's going to be a large Hispanic audience there, man, at that fight, because that's in Texas. So, you know, it's his chance to, you know, to get on the right track. I don't think Margarito will ever admit that he did that, though.
I'm just interested in the crowd's reaction to him, you know, how the fans receive him, whether he gets – booed really bad loudly or, you know, and also we also got to take into account that he doesn't have his longtime trainer anymore. I mean, that guy, I don't think he's going to get relicensed, so he's going to be rolling with a completely new trainer other than he's had his whole career. And I honestly think physically he's done, you know. Cotto took a lot out of him, and Shane Mosley definitely just destroyed him in that fight. I don't even know physically what he might have left after those two fights.
But he's had a long layoff too, you know, and maybe he's healed up some. You know, it just depends, really. Mentally, not just physically, but mentally. I think that's going to, the mental component weighs heavy in this fight or in his career in the future.
Exactly. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can, we could say about him coming, making his comeback and stuff, but you can tell he steps into that ring, then we'll definitely see what is the outcome of that fight. What is he geared up for next and stuff, you know?
I don't think we're going to see it in the next fight, though, Ruff. I don't think the next fight is where we're going to see it.
Yeah, that might be true, you know, but I'm going to give you my two names, you know, of comeback for 2010 and who I think is going to shine 2010. And you guys already kind of said some of the names I was thinking of, and Rob really kind of hit it on what I was thinking of, who's going to be the 2010, but he had it switched around. He said Montagua as the comeback kid. I'm going to say not the comeback kid. I'm going to say if he beats Gamboa, and I think he has a major chance of doing it. I think he has the tools to beat the Cuban fighter Gamboa. That ball of fire, I think he has enough water to turn off the flames when Gamboa steps into that ring this Saturday and do something a lot of people were putting down in Montagua. And if he does that, I would have to say he's going to be the major shine, because I'm going to tell you this. You can see it in that kid's eyes in that last interview they had when they asked him about Montagua. He does not really look like, or even the Aaron top-ranked people, really don't look like they want a rematch with Roger, because Roger plainly made that fight so intriguing for a rematch. He made that fight almost, in my opinion, the fight of the year of 09, that he deserved the chance of stepping back into the ring with Juan Ma. Now, whether or not he'll get it, I would have to say the only way he'll get it is if he destroys the big money fight that a lot of people have been salivating and anticipating, which would be the bout between Gamboa and Lopez. If he puts a wrench in that fight, then it would have to be Montalvo versus Lopez all over again. That's why I say he may shine. He may make more money than he was hoping for and he's been waiting for in the year 2010 if he succeeds over Gamboa. Now, Gamboa's no chump. There's no chump. You know, Gamboa is a completely different fighter than Juan Ma is, but there's a lot of questions that I still want answered going around Gamboa, you know, being that he's orthodox, kind of the orthodox that Ahmed brought to the table, and he's got fast hands, but the thing is this, is Gamboa's been dropped, okay? That's the first factor that I got to kind of point out, because I know some people are like, well, you're crazy, man. There's no way Gamboa's got this in the bag. I don't think so. And I'm going to tell you why, because Gamboa really honestly squares up. He's got a chinny chin. He likes to brawl when he doesn't need to. He's got all the tools not to be a brawler, but he likes to brawl. Now, the thing that I saw with Montagua is his overhand right is really sneaky, and that's where Juan Lopez had some problems with. The thing, too, we saw with Montagua is Montagua can take a punch. And I don't know whether Gamboa can punch harder than Lopez. I think Lopez is a much bigger, pure puncher, more accurate puncher than Gamboa. Gamboa just seems to throw and land. And wherever he lands, he may fare with. Where Lopez, he knows exactly where he's throwing, and he knows exactly where to land. And he saw that this guy that comes from Africa, and you got to say this, man, over and over and over, and I think Blood, me and you have said this time and time again, and Chris and everybody else, the African fighters have some type of water over there, man, you know, that makes them just tougher than nails. These guys will walk through coals of fire to show that they are true, true warriors. You know, they come from nothing. So they fight like they have nothing to lose. You know, and that's why I say Gamboa may be stepping into the guy that had this great run with Lopez and is not going to be discouraged that he's getting in the ring with another Latino fighter, and he's not discouraged getting in the ring with a much quicker fighter and a hard-punching, explosive fighter like Gamboa, but Gamboa
in my opinion, I applaud him because he's taking a huge step up. A huge step up facing Montago, because if you look at all the guys that's on his roster of fighters that he's defeated, none of them equal what Montago's done.
But
none of them come close to being a contender that Roger Montagua is. None of them. And Montagua has proven to be a true, true Frankie Randall, in my opinion.
Frankie Randall? Oh, that dude that beat Chavez?
You got it.
And then the dude that, oh, yeah, yeah, I know. Frankie Randall was a beast. Beast.
You know, Frankie Randall was absolutely a beast. And for the guys that don't know who Frankie Randall was, he's the guy that dropped Julio Cesar Chavez for the very first time and gave him the on-the-record defeat. And Montagua he reminds me a lot of Frankie Randall. And meaning this, okay, is that Frankie Randall, if you look at the three guys that are in this category, you got Juan Manuel Lopez and you got Gamboa, and then you got Montagua. Montagua does not have any of the special skills that those other two have. But what he does have is the durability, okay? He does have the heart. He has the drive, and that's exactly what Randall has, too. That's exactly what
tough
Randall
as nails. Has. Tough as nails. Veteran, you know, just knows the tricks of the trade.
Exactly. And it's very subtle tricks, you know. And, yeah, Montagua is not as peppered or seasoned as Frankie Randall, but he still has enough to put enough salt in the game of Gamboa where it can really create so much steam for Gamboa and get too hot in there that it could drive him to say, you know what, I'm not going to go through the same crap that Lopez did. I'm going to fold a little bit and just roll over, and that's it. I'm done with this fight.
He could ruin somebody's party, man. He's that type of fighter who could ruin somebody's party, man.
But this is one of the fights where you can say, you know, it's because I have a feeling Metaigo is one of those fighters where you can load up one heavy-ass shot, you know, and unload it on his ass. And he won't go down. But I have a feeling that he's one of the fighters that if you hit him with two or three hard shots in a row, I don't think he's going to like it. Especially with the speed that Gamboa's going to bring it to him. I think Gamboa has the combinations, the inside game, the speed to bring those you know, those twos and threes, those fours, shot combos. And I have a feeling Gamboa, if Gamboa's going to win, my feeling is he's going to win early. If he loses, it's going to be in the ninth round, and it's going to be bad. Going to be really bad.
I got to say, you know, I don't see that happening. I don't see Gamboa beating him early in the round. And really, in all honesty, if you really think about it, Rob, when has really Gamboa been, I mean, yeah, he's got those three-part combinations, but he's been known to square up himself. He's been known to open up wide, and I think that's going to benefit Montagua. The good part, though, too, for Gamboa, though, facing Montagua, is Montagua does the same thing. Montagua likes to brawl. He doesn't stay, you know, conventional. He doesn't stay composed. He'll widen up. He'll just start letting his arms loose. And that's where Gamboa could be successful. But I don't think he'll be able to really put a dent in that brick. I don't think that he'll be able to do it. I think, if anything, the way that I see Gamboa winning this fight is he would have to kind of revert back to his roots of the Olympian style and use his legs a lot in this fight and just dart in and out on occasions, pepper him up, but get out of there just in time for the return to miss him. And that's the only way I see Gamboa taking it.
By the way, I forgot to mention Celestino Caballero, the guy who could, you know, I hate that. I don't think this guy's going anywhere, but he could sneak under the radar this year and pop out somewhere, because he's talking one hell of a lot of shit. And the beef between him and Juanma is about to get real personal, because apparently he said that Juanma's a hoe, and if he catches him in Puerto Rico, he's going to smack his face. So this is getting real serious right now. This is turning into some shit.
Well, we'll see what happens, man. And, you know, as goes my comeback kid, you know, I like what Bless said. Zap Judah. The only thing, though, I got to say, I don't think he could ever come back as a kid, could be a comeback kid. I think, if anything, he could be a good opponent for anybody that wants to build their name. I think he's more of a stepping stone, in my opinion, right now in his career. Blood, what do you think?
It depends on how serious he takes it, Ruff. You know what I'm saying? He needs to take it real serious, man.
I'm going to tell you this. You know what I kind of find with Zap, and I've always been a fan of Zap Judah. I love the kid. You know, the guy, I like his mentality. I like the way he comes to the ring. I love his speed. He has all the tools. But in all honesty, I think he's going to end up like some of the fighters that had it all, and then when they finally lost it, they decided to become serious about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that does tend to happen quite a bit because as people get older, they mature and they realize what they have when they get older. And then sometimes by the time they realize it, it's too late. Happens all the time with all walks of life, man.
Exactly, you know. So my comeback kid, and I don't know, going with Chris, with Juan Romero Marquez, and even with Dave Chin, Juan Romero Marquez, I don't know if I can say he's going to be a comeback kid. Because whether or not if he goes back down to 135 or if he decides to stay at 140, and possibly, hopefully, I mean, if he was to get Timothy Bradley, I can't see him beating Timothy. I really see that he's at his last leg at any division at this moment, even though he was peppered up and, yeah, of course, a much bigger Floyd Mayweather, but I just see the wars really catching up to him, and I kind of see him really just now also being more of a stepping stone for anybody else, you know. I mean, I think he's a great warrior, one of the most intelligent warriors out there, but I think fighting the Diaz and fighting Pacquiao and stepping in with everybody else who's been able to get in there with Barrera and et cetera, Rocky Juarez, I think those fights finally caught up to him, and I think we're going to see the end of his career at 2010. I don't see him being the comeback kid, but I can always be wrong. I don't know. You know, he is in the pool of fighters, Golden Boy, where they've been able to rejuvenate themselves, you know, Bernard Hopkins and Shea Mosley, and, you know, they may, I don't know, maybe they might take him to that fountain of youth and have him drink from that fountain where he gets back everything he's lost in his age and make him the comeback kid that you guys were mentioning. But I don't know, I kind of see that's going to be a little hard. So who would be the comeback kid in my opinion? The comeback kid. Wow. That's a
Nate
pretty good
Campbell.
Question. I would have to say Jorge Linares, the guy that got knocked out in the first round, the kid that walked into a punch and had a lot of hype and was signed by the Japan promoter, I would say he would probably be the comeback kid. I think if anything, if the only way they would make him the comeback kid is, first off, they're going to have to get him back into the ring and get him some fights. Secondly, they're going to have to probably take him out of, you know, his comfort zone, being that he's been fighting so much in Japan, and take him out of there just for a little bit and kind of try to get him back in the mix with some other people and probably get him a much better trainer. I can see him. He's got the punching power, and he's definitely got the boxing skills, but his chin is going to be the big question. How much of it is damage and how much of it is mental in his head of getting knocked out so fast and being embarrassed among a lot of fight fans that had a lot of hopefuls around him. If I had to put money, I would say he would be the comeback kid, in my opinion. I think he can make a good comeback, you know, and do something. We are waiting for our guest to call in. You know, Luis called me.
Oh, and then
they're running a little late. So he just texted right now. He said, we'll be calling the show. I'm just waiting for Richard Gutierrez to call me right now to the office. And then they'll call us in and let us know what's going on. We're going to go on a quick break. Before we go on the break, I got another question for you guys and for all the hardcore fight fans. If you want to call in, the number is 347-205-7598. It is a toll-free number, guys. They don't charge you. You can go ahead and call in, and you can get involved in this conversation. But who's your overrated fighter, and who's the underrated fighter for 2010?
When we come back, we'll get Blood, Rob Riddler, David Chan, and Chris 916 answer of who is the overrated and who is underrated into the 2010.
Came too far. Trying to know what's going on. Echoes on my cellular phone. I noticed a couple items missing. Could it be the Fed still listening? See, I done beat those cases. Did time for the miscellaneous. And they proceed to keep on watching. Cause I've seen them lately. Interrogated my mom. Locked up half of my crew. But I can guarantee one thing that I won't let you. You lock me down. I won't let you push me round. I won't let you stop me now. I won't, cause I came too far. I won't let you ruin my day. I won't let you stop my pace. I won't, no, not today. I won't, cause I came too far. Devil's always watching me. Evil's always stalking me. God has been protecting me. And that's how I got this far. When you look at me, you see an angel. Can't believe I've been through half the things that I went through. Cause every day I see a face, misconstrued by the human race. Please don't you judge me unless you know me. I won't let you,
I won't let you lock me down. I won't let you push me round. I won't let you stop me now.
I won't, cause I came too far.
Let you ruin my day.
I won't let you stop my pace.
I won't, no, not today.
I won't, cause I came too far.
Came too far to turn back now. Came too far to turn back now. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. Came too far to turn back now. Came too far to turn back now. Ain't nobody gonna stop me. Ain't nobody gonna stop me.
Let you lock me down.
I won't let you push me round.
I won't let you stop me now.
I won't, cause I came too far.
I won't let you ruin my day.
I won't let you stop my pace.
I won't, no, not today.
I won't, cause I came too far.
TV, the mobile fight channel. Text KO2-35620 to get mobile fight content right to your phone. Remember, text KO2-35620 at lightsout.tv. You're listening to Leave It in the Ring, live boxing podcast radio. Remember to check out our sponsors, www.havocworldwide.com, thewillbebloodfightshow.com, standandfight.com, and the number one boxing website for women, Women's Boxing Archive Networks, WBAN.com.
Woo, man, oh man, oh man. I got the heater rolling. I got everything going on over here right now. Who is the most overrated and underrated coming into the year 2010? Before I get into that, our last segment of last week, we had a surprise guest call in. And if you weren't tuning in on that, and if you haven't heard it in the archives, the show that we had on, we had Hector Camacho Sr. call in. And I got to make a really quick statement. You know, some of the views that the guests do call in, or anybody else that, for that matter of fact, calls in, you know, we're a live show. We don't completely agree with some of the guests when they say something, and we obviously did not agree when
you know, Hector Camacho Sr., who we all respect and we love, man. You know, he's a friend of Leaving the Ring. He's a friend, a guy, he's a great guy. And what he said could have been taken out of context. Calling Floyd Mayweather a monkey, if it was, if it had appeared any racial thing, I think the fight that hardcore fans, the people that know us know, yo, we didn't agree with that, man. I mean, you know, was it funny? Yeah. You know,
hey, y'all, I wasn't doing that show now.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking hilarious.
It was a classic moment for Leaving the Ring. It was a classic moment for Leaving the Ring, man. And I got to tell you this. I think I speak for myself, but I think everybody else, even in the chat room and the people that were on live listening and on the panel, I think when he said that, I think everybody was like, did he just say what I think he just said right now? But, like I said, listen, if you, this is the first time you've tuned in, if that was last week was the first time you ever tuned in, you know, this is a live show, and you just saw in the beginning of this show that this is live. So you're going to hear all our mishaps, all our trips, all our mistakes, you know, and you're going to hear sometimes guests don't call in because something happened or whatnot or whatnot. It's really, really hard. I don't think anybody can really factor how difficult it is to run a live boxing radio show, you know, because fight fans, hardcore fight fans, we're just unpredictable, you know, and fighters, legend fighters, very unpredictable. I even had people emailing me like, yo, Ruff, why did you even let tune in into the show? I'm like, yo, man, listen, if Hector Camacho Sr., who's a legend, calls in and says he wants to be on the show, you let the dude on the show. Now, was I going to know he was going to say that about Pretty Boy Floyd Mayweather and not say it once? The dude said it like 20 times, man. I lost count after the fifth time. I was just like, damn, I was literally sinking into my chair, blood. You know what I mean? Like, my neck was going like into the collar of my shirt. You know what I'm saying? I was just like, oh, shit. You know? It was bad.
Well, you know, man, Leaving in the Ring is a show for fighters, man. You know what I'm saying? So when the boxers call in and they want to talk, man, they get red carpet treatment, man, because they're going in there, they're risking their life, you know, and this is what we do it for. So we can't control what they're going to say. You know, if that's how Camacho feel, that's how he feel. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, hey. Yeah, he's a monkey.
Oh, my God.
And like,
wow.
I got to repeat it again, once again. We do not condone anybody saying something like that. We're not with that, all that, man. And I got to apologize for the people that were offended, that were either black or white or Hispanic, that were offended. What, you know, Macho Time has said, or Hector Camacho Sr. has said, or even what Nate Campbell has said, PC, on our show, because I hear it all. You know, we hear it all. We get the emails, you know. Yo, man, with this, you don't agree. You know, so we got to apologize about that. But, like I said, this is a live show, and we don't censor anybody. You know, and a caller called in right away and said something stupid. We don't censor the show because our whole vision of starting Leaving in the Ring was to give a chance to the hardcore fight fans a voice. You know, to give the hardcore fight fans a chance to really kind of show, yo, we're the movement. You know, the only reason why this sport's alive and websites have websites and writers can write something about is because we're the ones that view it, we're the ones that read it, and we're the ones that talk about it and pay for these events to happen. You know, so that's why we started up Leaving the Ring. But let's get back real quick with 916 Chris, my boy out of Sacramento. Homeboy almost had a near-death experience, almost got ran over, was trying to cross the street. He was crossing the street to get some paletas, you know, when the ice-cream guy comes. You know what I'm talking about, right, Rob? You know, the paletas, you know?
Man, let me just tell you something. I got this dude coming over through my, I don't know where the fuck this motherfucker came from. Coming at 6 o'clock in the morning with this shit, like he's saying this, get out! Like, what the fuck are you saying at 6 o'clock in the morning, motherfucker? I don't understand you. What Spanish are you saying? What are you speaking right now?
Exactly. So anyways, Chris, who's
overrated and who's underrated stepping into 2010, my brother?
Overrated. Not that I think the guy's overrated, but I do think he's going to lose one, if not two, fights. I got to go with Carl Froch, the Cobra, Rob Riddler's favorite fighter. You know, I don't know how much strength I could put in that late minute KO he got over Jermaine Taylor after Jermaine got starched by Abraham. You know, and that Durrell fight was really, really, really close. You know, I definitely think he's going to lose. Even though Kessler got smoked or clowned by Ward, I think Kessler's going to win that fight. And underrated, I got a couple guys. The first guy is kind of questionable because I think he may actually lose his fight. I got Jean Pascal, but if he fights Chad Dawson, I think he's going to lose that fight. But if not, I still think he's underrated. He's pretty talented, and he's coming into his own. And aside from him, I got Steve Cunningham. He's the guy that I thought drew with, if not, could have pulled that fight out against Adamick, depending on how you scored it. And he hasn't really been on the scene since. He's got a fight coming up, a unification fight. And the cruiserweight division looks pretty good, even though it gets no exposure. And I think Steve Cunningham's going to have a really good year.
Man, those names right there, those are good names. Frotch, you know, I don't know if a lot of people would agree with you on that one, but, hey, I can see where you're coming from on that one. But I'm going to go with Dave Chim. Dave, what's up, brother? Solarplex rider, the Will Be Blood rider. I don't know if anybody's know. I don't know. I got to say it, too. I don't know if a lot of people know, but we do have a Leave It in the Ring website. You can go to www.leaveitintheRing.com, and you can check out the blogs that the guys on the panels drop. You know, you can even log on and even write your own blogs. You can write your own articles on Leave It in the Ring and your own thoughts, you know, of what you're thinking about and get on there and say some stuff. But, Dave, who do you got, brother? Overrated, underrated in 2010?
My overrated pick, and I believe this is possibly the most overrated guy at the moment that I can think of, is Edwin Valero. I mean,
really?
The guy is so hyped because he's got such a mysterious knockout like ratio. It's 100%, but most of it is guys who are overseas, and we don't really get to see much of it. You know, he fought a couple of times. You know, he got that pay-per-view, and then, you know, he got a few fights over here that we did see. But, I mean, the guy is ranked at number one in lightweight right now after Juan Manuel Marquez. And did he beat any of the other top 10 fighters together? You see what I mean? And that's a deep division. So I don't think he deserves. I think he's overrated. Do I think he's a bad fighter? Absolutely not. I think he's a very strong guy. But you know, it's one of those things, like I said, he has a perfect record, knockout record. But, you know, life is just like that. You know, when something looks too good to be true, it generally is. And I just get this instinct that that's the case with him because he's already shown that he's not very intelligent in the ring. And one day that's going to catch up with him. So that's my most overrated pick.
Well, you know what? I think you have a case there, Dave. I do. I think you got a really good case of what you just said right now, because if you really do look at the ledgers of fighters that he has stepped in, not one of them really, in all honesty, are that recognizable. You know, unless you're a hardcore fight fan and you watch every fight that's televised, then you would definitely know some of the names around that roster and stuff, you know. But, I think you might be right on that one.
Here's what I'm saying. I mean, obviously the guy is very strong. He's a big puncher. But if you give a strong guy, you know, all tomato cans, he's going to open every single one of them, right? So until he fights some of these other, you know, lightweight contenders, why is he ranked so far ahead of him? Because he looks good? You see what I mean? Because he's marketable? So, you know, that's why I say he's overrated.
Absolutely. Like I said, I think you have a case right there. Who's your underrated?
I think my pick for underrated fighter is Luis Collazo. And the reason for that is, you know, the guy was a title holder at welterweight division, which is a pretty respectable thing to do, you know. You know, that's a deep division these days. And the thing is, with the recent fight between Shane Mosley and Andre Berto, the one angle a lot of people are going with is Andre Berto struggled with Luis Collazo while Shane Mosley dusted him. So, therefore, Andre Berto has no chance against Shane Mosley. But they don't want to go with the angle, which is it's proven that Luis Collazo hurt his hand against Shane Mosley early in their fight and afterwards had to get surgery done on it. So, it's true. It's not an excuse. I mean, obviously, it's a what would have been and could have been. Maybe he would have lost that fight regardless. But there's an asterisk on that fight, and nobody wants to, you know, go with that angle when they're talking about Shane Mosley and Andre Berto. All they're saying is, Shane beat this guy that gave Berto trouble, and therefore Shane is better than Berto. And obviously, Luis Collazo right now can't get a rematch for his life with Andre Berto. I mean, that should have been the only fight that Andre Berto has a chance of fighting right now if boxing fans has any say in it. But for some reason, that's not even being discussed heavily. So Luis Collazo is my pick for an underrated fighter.
Oh, I like that. I like that, man. I think those are two great names. Just like Chris names I just brought to the table, I think a lot of fight fans right now are scratching their heads going, damn, man, I think you might be right about some of those names. I'm going to go with Robert out of Puerto Rico, bro. Who's overrated? Who's underrated?
Overrated Paul Williams. A lot of people still have him in their pound list. It makes no sense to me. He looked like shit in the Sergio Martinez fight. Got beat by Quintana. Has not fought anybody that's, like, really world-class that was known by casual fans as world-class. No, and... By me, when I say that, I mean Floyd Mayweather. He hasn't fought a Mosley. He hasn't fought, you know, we already have this kind of pound for pound list, let alone top five in the division. You know, like, seriously, there's a lot of other deserving fighters that could be in his spot, but they're not there. So, you know, Paul Williams, underrated, Yuri Foreman. His style would beat a lot of people in the division he's at. You know, I don't really see a problem he would have with somebody like, I don't know, to be honest, I think he would beat the shit out of Sergio Martinez. I think he would school Williams. A lot of guys, he might beat up on Cotto, you know, for all we know. I don't think that's going to be an easy fight for Cotto. I don't even know why he's taking that fight, considering he has to move up in weight. So, Yuri Foreman and Paul Williams.
You know, I know for a fact a lot of people are right now going like, what, Paul Williams? Because, you know, he did show some heart in that fight, and he did show some adjustment going in with Sergio Martinez. But, hey, you might be right, because there are some fight fans that believe he is overrated, you know. And Yuri Foreman, obviously, people did not know about him until, you know, he got Daniel Santos in the ring, and we saw exactly what happened. But I think he got the short end of the career of Daniel Santos in that fight. But you might be right. He may be the taker at 154, and if he does step in the ring with Miguel Cotto, I think he's definitely going to be the favorite in that fight, seeing that Miguel, I think, is at the fingertips of it in his career. Blood, my brother, who do you got, man? Overrated and underrated?
Man, I'm going to just elaborate on what Rob Riddler said. I have to say the most underrated for me would be Sergio Martinez. Everybody want to ride Paul Williams and say that, you know, he ain't this and that, but they don't realize that this guy, Sergio Martinez, is a good fighter. And Paul Williams, he beat Winky Wright, who I know he's past his prime, but, I mean, that guy is difficult for anybody. And Williams made that fight look easy, you know. And then he fought Martinez, who's underrated, who Riddler just pretty much ran under the bus just now, you know. So, I mean, to me, Martinez is the most underrated fighter out there still. Still people want to trash Williams for that fight and not give that man Martinez credit for being a good fighter. So to me, it's Sergio Martinez.
By the way,
to
Williams had trouble with Mitchell. So that's another reason I give up.
Man, he put Mitchell to sleep, man. And Mitchell ain't a bad fighter either. He ain't no bum. Mitchell ain't no bum. He passed his time.
He's not a bum, but he a midget.
Is it who you say? You talking about Mitchell, right?
Yeah, Mitchell a midget. Next to Williams,
well,
a midget.
Whatever, but... Oh, man. Anyways, my most overrated fight is Manny Pacquiao. Sorry, but... you know, I just can't... I can't get past that. He's the most overrated fighter of all time.
Oh, yeah. Well, come on, give us why, man. I mean, the most overrated fighter. Why?
Because he's a great fighter. He's a Hall of Famer, but he's not the greatest. And, I mean, the things people have said has been just ridiculous. You know, there's people who said he could beat Bernard Hopkins. You know, he's compared to Henry Armstrong. You know, we've heard it all with Manny Pacquiao, the commentators, you know. He's the most overrated fighter. I mean, I got to give it to him. He did beat a few Hall of Famers. He beat Barrera. He beat Morales, Marquez. He lost to Eric Morales. And to me, I thought he lost to Marquez. But, you know, he beat Hatton. Okay, whoop-de-doo.
You know, I mean, but now he's the greatest of all time. And he can't even make a fight with Mayweather happen. So, to me, you need a fight like Mayweather. You need a victory like a Mayweather to be called, to even be considered to me in the top 20. To me, he's not even in the top 20 of the greatest fighters. I don't even think, you know, I wrote down my 30 favorite fighters, and he wasn't one of them. So, you know, to me, he's the most overrated fighter ever.
Wow, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I know a lot of people may disagree with you, or they're going to disagree with you. You know what? Let me plug in. Let me unmute some fans and see what they got to say real quick, brother. Let's see. You know what? I think we might got Strike Card on the line. Strike Card, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm tired. Whitey's been riding me, but I'm here. I made it. I'm out. So I caught what you guys are talking about, and I'll throw down. No surprise for anybody who's listened a lot. I'm going to have to say Kelly Pavlik is the most overrated fighter at
Amen.
The moment. And though the tide is turning a little bit right now, in the fans' opinion, I think Vitaly Klitschko is still underrated, especially since he's been back. He's been very active
right.
and taking top-level opposition every fight and knocking dudes out if they want to fight him. Kevin Johnson showed you can run and hide, but if you don't, you're going down. So.
Okay.
Well, Ruff said that he think he'll retire this year, though. We were talking about it earlier, and you know, he might end up going ahead and retire, but I have to agree. I don't think there's nobody who could beat him at this point.
Well, that's why I'm saying he's going to be. That's why I think he would retire, because he has nothing more else to prove. I think he's the best heavyweight out there. You know, I mean, if by chance him and his brother were to say, let's fight each other, you know, I would still think Vitaly would be the victorious person out of that, even though Vladimir has been more of the athletic, you know, fighter in between them, but I think Vitaly just has it all together more mentally and physically, you know, and he's an intelligent fighter. I'm gonna pass in some fight fans real quick. Let's go with area code 508, brother. What's on your mind? Tell me what you got.
Yeah, I'm gonna respond to what Blood said about Manny Pacquiao. What's up, man? I don't know if he's the worst fighter. I don't think he's as what he's cracked up to be, but me, I actually like Pacquiao, but I don't at the same time. And the reason I don't, which is, you know, happened as of late, is because of the fans. All these fans, anytime you disagree with them or anything, then with nigga this, nigga that, monkey this, monkey that, and Pacquiao's like one of the only fighters that they have. Now, if they want to go to the history of black fighters and Filipino fighters, it's not even close. So his fans are actually turning me off to him, and also his actions with the steroid testing.
You know what, brother? I got to agree with you, man, because if anything, I think I've talked about this. I brought it up on a vid, and I also brought it up on the radio show. I've spoken to so many fans, and so many fans, man, go, you know what? I like Manny, man, but his fans really just turn me off. And I think if anything, that's why a lot of people have been anticipating for Manny to lose, so they can see, he is human. See, he's not a god. See, he's this. And a lot of people, I would have to say the Manny fans are writing off Joshua Calati, the Grandmaster, and I'm just like, wow, really? You really think that he can walk through the Grandmaster like that? I kind of find that very hard to believe. And really, I mean, have we not seen what the Grandmaster is capable of doing? Yeah, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but this dude's a tough, tough guy. And I know Strikeheart, you got to agree with me on that one.
Oh, absolutely. He's not the easiest guy to hit. I think one of the guys you just patched in, he's got to turn his radio down. All right, so hopefully you did that. But, yeah, he's not the easiest guy to hit. And he's got a body punch that a lot of people ignore. When they think about how good he is, I think that he's going to give lots of trouble to Manny Pacquiao, to his body. It'll be a tough fight for both guys, and Manny Pacquiao might knock Joshua Calati out, but I don't think that takes anything away from Joshua Clady should that happen. And I, at this moment, when I think about it in my mind, I don't really see that happening. I see it going the whole way.
So there's going to be people who are always going to put that dark cloud over Pacquiao's head now with this testing situation. You know, he's just basically he has more to be criticized about now because he avoided the blood test. And he's not going to receive a blood test in the Joshua Clady fight, which makes a lot of us wonder, should he be tested? Should all the fighters be tested at this point?
They all should. And, I mean, the story isn't over yet. We'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out. I don't really think we've gotten the answers from Manny himself yet either to anybody's satisfaction about exactly why it is he's not taking the test. It's very unclear. There's lots of rumors, hearsay, and just flat-out contradictory things that people have said. So
the thing about his fans is that they don't want to acknowledge is that Manny Pacquiao's asked for favors, plenty of favors in the past. Why can't he live up to one of them? Why can't he do something for a change? You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's asked for his people. Maybe it's not him personally, but they've asked for a lot of favors, and people have, you know, Cotto was able to come in and make the 145. You know what I'm saying? I mean, why can't he do something for a change? You guys want to say he's as great as Henry Armstrong, but all these things, Henry Armstrong wasn't setting stipulations and all that stuff. And that's what made me mad.
That he would have agreed to the 14 days, but at the same time, it wouldn't have changed the sport on the whole. And I think that a change like this is something that should happen for everybody. Or I mean, I can say I think it's everybody or nobody. I know that if I was Pacquiao, and obviously I'm not, but I probably would have done exactly the same thing just for that simple fact and what that the accusation that leaves on my head, regardless of whether or not I pass.
He said he wants to take them to court to clear his name. The only way you could clear your name is to take the blood test.
Not exactly.
Going to court, they don't clear
exactly
your name.
No blood, because. And I've said this several times, but if he takes the test and passes and loses the fight, that still calls everything else he's done in question now because he didn't take a test for every other fight. And what they're accusing him of is basically that for the past few years, he's been doing something that he shouldn't have been doing, taking some kind of performance-enhancing drug. To pass the test and lose the fight would only enhance that accusation. That ain't going to clear his name.
But he's great.
To-
but he's great, though. And, you know, great fighters step up to the challenge. You know, he's the greatest fighter of all times, his fans say. So he needs to step up to the challenge and do what great fighters do. But, you know, like Floyd Mayweather, he's turned into a baby, just like Floyd Mayweather, a crybaby. So both of them are crybabies in my book, and neither one of them are even in the top 30 as far as pound-for-pound all-time greats.
I say let's let it play out a little longer. That's what I say.
Striker, let's back to another fight fan. Let's see what he's got to say about this. Area code 302. Go ahead, brother. State your name and what's on your mind. Area code 302, brother. You're on.
Is that 342 talking, Mayda?
Is that the Undertaker?
I got a metro. Anyways, man, look, I'm going to go to
I mean, if people are going to call in, make an argument. You know what I'm saying? If you don't like what we're saying, then call in and make an argument about it. Don't call in and act silly like a bunch of little kids just because we
don't
like your fighter or we don't agree with what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? Or you don't agree with us, whatever, vice versa. Just call in and make your argument.
If you don't like what I'm saying, kiss my ass.
We're going to take a real quick break, man. When we get back, you know, I got another question, too, you know, I want to kind of throw out there for the fight fans. And I apologize to the guests that haven't called in yet. You know, like, this weather's just jacking everybody up. And like I said, you know, we can't force them to come on. They're trying to get on. And it is what it is. What can I do? I can't make any excuses except for just say, hey, my bad, they're not coming on yet. But, hey, we'll be right back. And I guess the next question is, who would you like to see retire finally, man? Who would you like to see finally hang up the gloves? And if ever, if there was going to be somebody to come out of retirement, no, let me erase that second one. let me ask you this. What is the fight out there? Because I know the fight that everybody wants to see is, obviously, it's going to be Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao, or Floyd Mayweather versus Mosey, or Mosey versus Manny Pacquiao. What is the fight, though, really, all honesty, that's going to be under radar and be fight of the year for 2010? And would you want to see, or which fight would you would want to see happen and nobody's really talking about and making a big hoot about it? This is Report 97, we're up on Leaving the Ring. We'll be right back.
Jay-Z. What's up, niggas? Hey, yo, I know you ain't talking about me, dog. You? What?
Fuck Jay-Z.
You been on my dick, nigga. You love my style, nigga.
Fuck Jay-Z.
Fuck with your soul like ether.
Well,
teach you the king, you know you. Godson across the belly.
Lose.
I prove you lost already. Brace yourself for the main event. Y'all impatiently waiting. It's like an AIDS test. What's the results? Not positive. Who's the best? Pop, Nas, and Big. Ain't no best. East, west, north, south, floor, style greetings. I embrace y'all with napalm. Blows up, no guts, left chest, face gone. How can I be garbage? Send me autos at your cottage. Burner at the side of your dome. Come out of my throne, I got this. Lock since 9-1, I am the truest. Name a rapper that I ain't influenced. Gave y'all chapters, but now I keep my eyes on the Judas. With the Ryan Sophie fame, kept my name in his music. Check it out. Fuck with your soul like ether. Teach you the king, you know you. Godson across the belly.
Lose.
I prove you lost already. Hey, yo, pass me the weed. Put my ashes out on these niggas, man. Hey, yo, you faggots, y'all kneel and kiss the motherfucking ring. Fuck with your soul like ether. Teach you the king, you know you. Godson across the belly.
Lose.
I prove you lost already. I've been fucked over, left for dead, distant, forgotten. Luck ran out. They hope that I'd be gone, stiff and rotten. Y'all just piss on me, shit on me, spit on my grave. Talk about me, laugh behind my back, but in my face, shots of well wishing. Friendly acting, envy, hiding snakes. With your hands out for my money, man, how much can I take when these streets keep calling? Heard it when I was asleep that this Jay-Z and Cockefeller Records wanted beef. Started cocking up my weapon, slowly loading up this ammo to explode it on a camel. And his soldiers, I can handle this Fedolo and his manuscript. Shit sounds stupid when KRS already made an album called Blueprint. First, Biggie's your man, then you got the nerve to say that you better. The big dick sucking lips. Won't you let the late great veteran live?
Well, now
nah. Godson across the belly.
No.
I prove you lost already. The king is back. Where my crown at? Ill will, rest in peace. Let's do it, niggas. Fuck with your soul like ether. Teach you the king, you know you. Godson across the belly.
Lose.
I prove you lost already. Y'all niggas deal with emotions like bitches. What's sad is I love you because you're my brother. You traded your soul for riches. My child, I've watched you grow up to be famous. And now I smile like a proud dad watching his only son that made it. You seem to be only concerned with dissing women. Were you abused as a child, scared to smile? They called you ugly? Well, life is harsh. Hug me. Don't reject me. I'll make records to disrespect me. Blatant or indirectly, in 88, you was getting chased to your building, calling my crib, and I ain't even give you my numbers. All I did was give you a style for you to run with, smiling in my face, glad to break bread with the guard, wearing jazz chains, no text, no cash, no cars, no jail bars, jigger, no pies, no case, just Hawaiian shirts. Hanging with Little Chase, you a fan, a phony, a fake, a pussy, a stand. I still whip your ass. You 36 in a karate class. You Tybo ho, trying to work it out. You trying to get brolic. Ask me if I'm trying to kick knowledge. Nah, I'm trying to kick the shit you need to learn, though. That ether, that shit that make your soul burn slow.
Burn.
Is he Dame Diddy, Dame Daddy, or Dame Dummy? Oh, I get it. You Biggie and he's Puffy.
Yeah.
Rockefeller died of AIDS, that was the end of his chapter. And that's the guy I chose to name your company after. Put it together. I rock hoes, y'all rock fellas. And now y'all trying to take my spot, fellas. Philly's hot rock fellas. Put you in a dry spot, fellas. In a pine box with 9 shots for my Glock, fellas. Foxy got you hot cause you kept your face in a puss. What you think you getting girls now cause of your look? Negro, please. You know mustache habit with whiskers like a rat compared to beans you whack. And your man stabbed on and made you take the blame. You ass went from jazz to hanging with Kane to Herb to Big. And Eminem murdered you on your own shit. You a dick rotted faggot. You love the attention. Queens niggas run you niggas. Ask Russell Simmons.
Huh, R-O-C, get gunned up and clap quick. J.J. Evans, get gunned up and clap quick. Your whole damn record label, gunned up and clap quick. Sean Carter to Jay-Z, damn you on jazz dick. So little shorty's getting gunned up and clap quick. How much of Biggie's rhymes is gonna come out your fat lips? Wanted to be on every last one of my classics. You pop shit, apologize, nigga, just ask Kiss.
Chill, I'm back, man. I already see everybody in the chat room throwing out the names and the fights that shit happened. Some of the names you guys are throwing out there are obviously really good, man. I see some of those fights, too. You know, so I'm saying Paul Malignaggi versus Amir Khan. I'd like to see that fight, to tell you the truth. I think that would be a great, great matchup. You know, I don't know about Sergio Martinez versus Angulo. You know, I think that's a bad matchup for Angulo. I think Angulo, in my opinion, really needs to work on himself and his boxing skills. But I'll go with 916 Chris real quick. Who should retire and what fight is going to be under the radar from the casual fans, but the fight where the fans, the hardcore fans, where it really matters, the fight that we want to see?
Who should retire? Wow. You could take your pick. Evander Holyfield, Bernard Hopkins, or Roy Jones. I know Hopkins hasn't looked as bad as Jones and Holyfield, but I'm just tired of Bernard Hopkins. The fight I want to know is dependent on what goes down this weekend, but I would love to see Gamboa Wanma sometime this year. And another fight that is going to be made from what I've heard that I'm really looking forward to is Chris Areola against Thomas Adamek.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. I talked to Henry Ramirez, who's his head trainer, and he said that fight looks like it's going to be a big, big possibility. They're really talking about it, and that'd be an interesting fight, really interesting fight. You got another fight, or is that the only fight you think?
No, I said the Gamboa, Wanma, Areola, Adamek, and also, I mean, I know it may not happen. We've talked about it with the fighters on this show, but I'd still like to see Kelly Pavlik, Paul Williams.
Yeah, I'd like to see that fight, too. Let's go with Rob Riddle out of Puerto Rico, brother. Who should retire, and what's the fight that's going to be under the radar among the mainstream fans, but not as hardcore fight fans?
Well, aside from all the fighters that Chris named, Cotto, I think he's mentally disciplined enough to keep fighting, but he physically can't. He gets cut from anything now. He swells up from anything now. His face is just, you know, taking the toll. So, Cotto and Marquez is another guy I see at the end of his career. You know, I don't really think he can really do anything else. I mean, he could probably beat a few guys, but I don't really put too much money on that, you know, if I had money, because I'm broke as hell. But if I had money, I wouldn't really put too much money on that. But, and as for fights,
Cotto would probably be one of my picks too, Rob. I would have to agree with you on Cotto retiring. I'd like to see him retire. You know, I think he's done enough. I honestly think that his time has already ended. It was short-lived, but he gave enough for the fight fans to remember him by. But, and you're right, he cuts up too well. He swells up too quickly now. You know, he's just deteriorating little by little. His father passed away. I think there's too many factors going into his career now. I think I'd like to see him hang up his gloves. So I got to agree with you on that one. Go ahead about your fight.
The fights, they depend, and they really, because with the super mix tournament, wow. You know, don't leave tournament names around me, because I'll be coming up stupid shit like that. But anyway, it really lies around the lightweight division, because with the Super 6 tournament, you get fights you already wanted to see. So, lightweight division, I'd like to see Edwin Valero against any of the top 10 guys, top 5, whatever. Timothy Bradley versus Khan, Bradley versus Malignaggi, really. And one, the actual dream fight I actually wanted, and seriously, like you might think it's a joke, Nate Campbell versus Paulie Malignaggi, just for the press conferences. Not really for the fight, for the press conferences.
I don't know. I think Nate Campbell versus Kendall Hall would be more of an explosive fight, and for the press conference. At least you're going to get your money's worth going to the press conference and actually seeing it on the tube. I think that right there would be an awesome, awesome fight. My boy Strikeheart, who's been working hard but still is a trooper, one of the most controversial interviewers that we got on Leaving the Ring. This guy always brings it. You either love him or you hate him. What you got, brother? Who's going to retire? And what fight would be under the radar among the mainstream fans? Not your dream matchup, but the fight that materializes will be under the radar.
Roy Jones Jr. should retire, in my opinion. We'll see if he can prove me wrong April 17th when he fights Bernard Hopkins. But I think that he should definitely retire. That's just my opinion. The fight that I would want to see more than any other fight, but it won't happen, would be a rematch between Nate Campbell and Timothy Bradley. That just isn't going to happen. That's pretty obvious. So in light of that fact, I think Amir Khan versus Timothy Bradley would be a perfect substitute for me. And for Nate Campbell, the two fights that he wants would both be great fights, and those are Ricky Hatton and Marquez. I think those matchups are pretty good. So both of those fights, in light of the fact that I can't get the rematch I want, either Ricky Hatton or Marquez versus Nate Campbell and Amir Khan, Timothy Bradley, those are the two fights I want to see more than any other this year. What was the last part? I completely forgot.
No, you covered it already. Got it.
Oh, I covered it. Look at that. I'm doing great.
Before I get to blood, let me pass in a fight fan and see what they got. Area code 917. What's on your mind, brother? Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Hey, this is Columbia Slugger from New Jersey.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Good, man. First time on the show. Great stuff. I like what I'm hearing.
I appreciate it, brother. So who do you got? Who should retire this year? And what fight do you think is going to be under the radar among the mainstream fans? You know, everybody's anticipating Manny versus Mayweather Mosley or Mayweather versus Mosley. But what fight would you want to see that's not a mainstream fight?
Okay, first of all, there's a lot of guys that should retire. Let me start with the heavyweights. I don't want to see Ruiz fight anymore. He needs to go away. I mean, I'm tired of it. And as a Latino, I'm offended that they associated with the best heavyweight Latino.
Let's just take the whole top 10 heavyweights and have them all retire.
I'm sorry to say it, but it's very sad as a boxing fan not to have any American prospects that even remotely have a chance of winning the title. I mean, I met Chambers. He's like a nice kid, but he's more of a cruiserweight. I just don't see him beating the Klitschko.
I gotta agree with you on that one, because I met Chambers at the Staples, okay? And I'm 5'9", and I gotta tell you, I was almost eye level with him. He was not much bigger than me, and I was just thinking like, God, this is a really small heavyweight. A really small heavyweight.
And small, he's not that tall, but he's also not very muscular. He'll be great at cruiserweight. He could really do damage at cruiserweight. But anyway, another guy that needs to retire, Ricky Hatton. I would love for him to fight.
He needs to stay retired.
he needs to just go away. I mean, I would love him to fight Nate Campbell for a farewell fight. I think it'll be exciting. They'll both make some money. And then he can go and, blow up to 300 pounds. Another obvious candidate is Taylor, for the obvious reasons. The guy, he had some good fights, but he's been knocked out twice in, the last two fights?
Right.
He needs to go away. Cotto is also in that same category. He took a lot of punishment from Margarito and from Pacquiao. I like Cotto. I don't think – I was never a huge fan, but, I appreciated his heart and his dedication to the sport. And the fight that I really want to see, I want to see David Haye versus one of the Klitschkos, preferably Vitaly, because I think he has a chance being the – Vitaly's been – I'm sorry, Vladimir. Vladimir's been down. I think David Haye definitely has a puncher's chance. He might have a big mouth and talk a lot of crap, but – he comes in shape, he trains, and he has very good skills. That's really the biggest fight that could be made in heavyweight right now. Adamek and Chris Arreola sounds like a very interesting fight. I'm actually going to the Adamek fight, and I'm very curious to see how he handles heavyweight, even though Estrada is not a big puncher.
Right.
But other than that, you know, obvious Mayweather-Pacquiao, hopefully that happens down the road. And that's about it.
That's a good list, too, man, I got to say. You know, and all those names that you said I mentioned that got to retire, I think you're absolutely right. They do need to hang up the gloves. I think a lot of them, a lot of the guys that are hanging on to him a little too long, like for instance, it Hatton, there's one guy, you got to see him go, you know what I mean? Yeah, he may have one fight left for money-wise, like Nate Campbell, but why even see him get in there anymore? You know, I think he needs just to put him away and just walk away from me. He's already as rich as he can get. Roy Jones Jr., I could see that too. Yep, I think he needs to hang up the gloves and retire there. You know, before I mentioned who I think should retire and the fight that I think is going to be under the radar, I'm going to go with my boy Blood. Blood, what do you got, brother?
Yeah, man. You know, as far as who should retire, man, you guys mentioned pretty much most of the people. Is the Atlantic City Express, is he still fighting? I heard he's still fighting. He needs to retire. Chris Bird needs to hang him up for good. Verno Phillips needs to hang him up. I used to like Verno Phillips back in the day, but, I don't like what I saw out of him against Paul Williams, nor against Corey Spinks. As far as the fight that I'd like to see, I would like to see Timothy Bradley versus Amir Khan.
That's a fight that I would like to see, too. You know, I'd really like to see that fight. I'd like to see how well Amir Khan would fare with Timothy Bradley, you know. And really, oh, man, I think Khan would be walking in as a major, major underdog in that fight, you know, being that what Timothy's been able to bring to the table, you know, and seeing what Timothy's been able to do. Tough fight for Amir Khan, man, and I'll go with who needs to retire. I think this is who needs to retire. Miguel Cotto definitely got to retire. I think he's done. Who also needs to hang up his gloves is the obvious, is Ricky Hatton. John Ruiz is another guy that you guys already mentioned. Yeah, I think he needs to hang him up too. Riddick Bowe's making a comeback. I think he needs to hang him up too, man. You know, even though
even
I love Riddick
Bowe, he needs to leave them hanged up. Shit.
But he might be fighting Tom. I heard he might be fighting Tommy Morrison though, bro.
Yep,
oh,
he's gonna be fighting Tommy Morrison, who we're gonna have Tommy on next week. But
so,
I really
so you ain't gonna say Tommy Morrison because we got him on next week.
Well, Tommy Morrison needs to retire.
You know,
would you tell him
people,
that next week though, Riddler? Are you gonna tell him
yes.
that next week?
Yes, I will.
You know. But yeah, definitely, they need to hang him up, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. Macho Time. I love Macho Time, but he needs to retire.
He needs to retire too, man. 47 years old, you know, and he's got enough memories for us to all love. And, you know, I mean, why keep pursuing it? Hang him up. Even his son, Hector Jr., has got to hang him up. I think he'd say the same thing too. Now, the fight that's under the radar. The fight that's under the radar, I think you guys pretty much took them all, the ones that I think that would materialize and would be under the radar and really, in all honesty, would be explosive. I tell you what fight that a lot of people, I would say, would be fight of the year automatically when this fight does happen, would be Frotch versus Arthur Abraham. I think those guys... And it's going to be under the radar amongst the mainstream fight fans, you know, because a lot of times these so-called super fights, okay, which was really created back in the 1980s when Leonard was around, you know, that term super fight, that's when it started coming about. in all honesty, those super fights were really, they were really super fights because there were two prime fighters stepping in the ring and training. Now it's more of a superstar versus a guy that's looking to take that away from him, be a cash money cow, you know. So these fights that I'm thinking of, like Amir Khan versus, you know, Timothy Bradley, that's a prime fight. You know, two guys stepping in the ring, you don't really know. Frost versus Abraham, Lopez and Gamboa stepping in, that's another great fight there, you know.
Yo, Ruff.
Kendall Holt versus Nate Campbell.
I got one that's an answer for both your questions. And then, you know, Marquez Vasquez, what is it, four?
Oh,
I'm kind of looking forward to the fight, but I kind of think both guys should retire.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so, too. And I think, what fight fan really wants to see that fight? I don't know. I don't know any fight fans right now. I think they're pushing it with both these guys stepping in and ruining the trilogy they already have. I think it was enough. What answers are we going to get?
No, you're right, man. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think you're just really tempting fate with that fight. I don't know. I'm really worried about those guys.
I got
more retirement that needs to happen, y'all, that y'all didn't mention. Actually, of two very important people, Don King and Bob Arum, going to go on ahead and hang it up.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, bitches. Sorry, I'm getting carried away with this game here.
I got another fight that could be under the radar that I would love to see happen. But then again, I kind of like to see anybody in there with James Kirkland when he's available to fight again. But James Kirkland to Alfredo Angulo, I think that'd be a really good fight. And certainly would be under the radar.
Strike, I got a fight that I think everybody would love to see, and I don't even think this fight would be under the radar. You know, Blood versus some pack tarts.
Hey, man, that's a fight that needs to happen now. Right now. I will sign for that fight any day.
Yeah,
that needs to be an MMA fight because I want to kick them all in the head and shit when I fight them. I want to kick somebody into submission. One of them packs off. kick the pack shit out of them.
Man, I keep getting killed by pack tars in this damn game. I keep seeing these Filipino flags pop up on their screen names and shit. Look at this motherfucker.
So somebody put in the chat room talking about the boxing historian put Big Ragu versus Budasai.
Yo, Big Ragu was a fight. Remember, he was in the ring with Buster Douglas or something before he fought Mike Tyson or something crazy. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Big Ragu could fight, man. I wouldn't mess with him.
I got Budasai.
Man, poor Buddha. He didn't even hear, man. You guys are all picking on that guy. Look at boxing and sports. Causing havoc already, man. You know, Big Ragu versus Buddha. That's funny. That's some funny stuff. And we're going to go on a quick break. We get back. I got another question for the hardcore fight fans and the guys that are on the panel, but I'll save it on this quick break. You're listening to Leaving the Ring.
Team Staff, Death West. Yo, cause this is Death West for life. This is Death West for life. Hey yo, yo, I'm still the same cat. Yo, I'm too laid back. Gangsta style rap. Yo, I still blaze tracks. Platinum chain on, I still bang on the song. Holla Death West, out the range of the zone. Get big money out the game and I'm gone. Roll a old nigga for real, we go real low. Same song, floss and show nigga. See what ice look like on a cold killer. Most thriller, pimp these go get it. Double R driver, plush car buyer. Cigar smoker, starstruck poster. Shine, way too hard for a close up time. But I ain't having hard selling dimes in the project. Bond first, that's a promise. Cocaine raid, I've been involved with for ages. And I still got your case. Still on the black, smoking Cuban cigars. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Lex Coupe driver, 20 inch rider. Still play the block with them 20
Hell on the black smoke, you and cigar. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Let's group drivers, 20-inch riders. Still play the block with the 25 to life. What y'all know about the rings, bling bling, and platinum chain swinging. Jesus head freezing, niggas eating on the run like we know it. Y'all bike style, but you can't perfect cloning. For real though, ice project through the window. Chain stretched out to the max like a limo. Please believe it, whole block in false mode. But still cop holes to protect our home. Niggas still flashy, two cars, eight chrome ones. When they spot the piece, they mouth drop like Arnhem. Still play the block, smoking Cubans and cars. Hoes talk to the black cause we shine like stars. Gotta love it, heads turn when in public. Juice busting, so reluctant, dog, it's nothing. Ain't a bitch walking these streets, we ain't touching. Came a long way from courts and free lunches. Still on the black, smoking Cuban cigars. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Lex boot drivers, 20-inch riders. Still paint a block with them 25 to life. Still on the black, smoking Cuban cigars. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Lex boot drivers, 20-inch riders. Still paint a block with them 25 to life. I'm hot stand, play the block wild. From the block, now it's juice and rocks now. Oh, he is still roll with my feet. No, still icy and knock it smooth off your feet. Cocked and ready, something sick like Joe Pesci. Smoke Nestle, back to the MC. Don't test this, slugs penetrate best. I've been done stretches, been living reckless. Been had Lexuses and big necklaces. Been had plans to blow since the exit. I've been on the block off exit. In times like this, I might wreck the slit. I still hate you off the hash, she's an AD. The X in here might influence me to spray things. But my block, my corner, my thug. Niggas, my life, my love. Still on the black, smoking Cuban cigars. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Lex coupe drivers, 20-inch riders. Still play the block with them 25 to life. Still on the black, smoking Cuban cigars. Shine like stars, y'all know who we are. Lex coupe drivers, 20-inch riders. Still play the block with them 25 to life.
Step West for life. This is Step West for life, nigga.
West, my nigga.
Yeah, multi-million-dollar team up in here, man.
Grind it out on
Steve, man. See you, Eddie Boy, man. Yeah.
True love, you know.
One love.
One thug.
Yeah. Okay, man. We're back on Leave It in the Ring. Now, so this is what I got. What fighter would you like to see finally move up in weight division or move down a weight division? Okay, because you see him doing either better or at least doing some good or materializing some better fights. Because a lot of times we see some fighters that they're in a division a little too long, you know, festering around in a division way too long where, they, you know, it could be because they're trying to be dominant in that division, or maybe because of the fact that, you know, they're waiting for a particular fighter to give them the okay, or just because they have all the advantages in that division. I'm going to go straight up with Strike Hard first automatically. Strike, who do you see that either needs to go down or come back up? Or go back, or go up, I'm sorry, or go up.
I think this might sound funny to some people because there's so much unfinished business for Floyd Mayweather at welterweight, but I would actually like to see him move up to junior middleweight. I think that he'd be very easily able to make that weight. I think that he might have somewhat of a hard time making 147 at this point. I don't anticipate that's something he would do. But there's certainly a lot of good fights. I mean, there's plenty at 147, but there's a lot at 154 as well. So that would be the fighter I'd like to see move up right off the top of my head. As far as move down, how about just stay down? That would be unless, of course, the super fight between Paul Williams, Kelly Pavlik arises. I really don't want to see Paul Williams at middleweight in any fight but that one. So whether that mean he stay at junior middleweight or move to 147, if somehow he can freakishly do that and get a fight. But, yeah, I think both guys that I just mentioned, probably 154 is the right place for them to be at and stay at least for the next couple years. But neither one of them, oddly enough, neither one of them will probably do that. So those are my two picks.
Interesting. All right, let me go with Rob Briller. What do you got, brother?
I think,
think he might have dropped off. He's playing PlayStation 3. He's playing freaking...
Oh, shit. Yo, sorry. I was playing that game. I was playing that game. I had to mute it because I was getting real pissed right now. But, anyway. anyway, man. Chad Dawson apparently has been flirting with moving down in weight. So, you know, besides... But that's scary to me. Chad Dawson fills into that weight class fine, so him moving down would be a little too much, but I'd like to see what he could do. As for moving up, I don't really know. I mean, I wouldn't really, there's not too many. Everybody, it's just that today you find fighters who move up into weight class and then just stay there because, you know, they really can't hang with guys in their original weight class. But I don't want to see Paul Williams move up anymore. Even though I think he is pretty big, and he can probably fight at super middleweight, I don't really think he can, I don't think he should move up anymore, especially after the Sergio Martinez fight. But, actually, Sergio Martinez I think he should stay at middleweight and see what he can do there. You know, I think he could take a guy like Felix Sturm.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Blood, stop, brother.
You got me? You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, yeah. Man, I like Adam Mick up there at heavyweight. You know, that's definitely something I like. But what I would really like to see, even though he fits good where he's at, but I like to see Bradley move up and fight some welterweights. Yeah, and I also like the idea of Dawson moving down too.
I like the idea of Dawson moving down. I'd like to see that, how he would do, how he would fare at 168.
Because there's nothing there at 175 for him as much as there – well, there's not as much as there is at 168 for him, you know. But, I think some of these little cruiserweights need to go on and move up in the heavyweight division. They might as well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, go and fight some of them big old out-of-shape fat boys, and maybe we get a real champion up there.
Exactly, yeah. You know, I'm going to go with Dave Chen. Dave, what do you got, brother? Who do you have on your list?
A guy I think needs to move up in weight is Timothy Bradley, not because he's stagnating in his weight division by all means, but I just think a guy like him with his style, you know, young fighter, you know, he would actually make the welterweight division even more interesting, and I think it'll be better for him as in terms of his career. So I would like to see him move up. I certainly think he can fill out the weight rather well, and you wouldn't really hurt him in any way. And a guy that needs to come down would obviously be one Manuel Marquez. I mean, it was really unnatural to see the man trying to eat 40 eggs and stuff just so he could kind of, you know, compare himself to a welterweight. And just obviously not biologically natural for him to be that big. And, you know, if he just fought guys, you know, that are reasonably sized, you know, around lightweight, he would still be a very entertaining fighter. You know, who wants to see a small guy blowed up and then go get poked to death by some taller man, right? So, you know, this is one of our best, you know, pound for pound fighters, you know, and going up in weight hurts him from fighting his best. So he needs to move back down.
Yep, I think you're right about that one. 916 Chris, we only got a few more minutes, 10 more minutes of the radio show. Who do you got, brother?
Actually, a name you mentioned earlier in regards to not this subject, but I'd like to see Zab Judah at 140. I'd like to see him against any of those guys, Bradley, Maidana, Khan, Hatton, Peterson, Yarongo, Holt, anyone, Malignaggi, I think Victor Ortiz. I'd love to see Zab Judah back at 140. I think that's his best weight. And either move down or up or whatever, I just want to see Chad Dawson, Lucien Boutte. So if that involves Boutte moving up back up to light heavy where he's been before, or Chad Dawson moving down, I want to see that fight. I think that'd be an awesome matchup between two undefeated fighters.
I think that would be a great fight. I'd like to see that too. Either way, how it goes. If Dawson moves down, like you said, or, you know, Boutte decides to move up. Either way, I like to see that happen. I think Boutte and Dawson make it very interesting if either one of them are accepted to take the replacement of Jermaine Taylor. I want to know who would be the replacement. I know Alan Green was a name that was thrown out there, but he's got a fight coming up, you know, for himself.
Man, Alan Green sucks. Fucking Alan Green. It's all...
Blood, who you got, brother? Oh, yeah, I already got you, huh, Blood?
You already asked me, bro.
Yeah, you already asked. Okay, I guess that's... I guess that just leaves it up to me, man, and who I think should move up and who should move down and what. I'm going to say Nonito Dornier. I'd like to finally see him leave his weight division and move up. I think he's been starving himself way too long, and he's got, he's got the Victor Chilean fight, you know, but that is a weight class up, you know, and he could fight, like, Victor Chilean, he could fight, Obeko, he could fight Yanni Perez, and meeting him in person, he's got the height, he's a tall, tall kid, you know, and I could just see automatically in his face and his arms and his body that he has the structure of carrying some more weight in his body, you know. Now, as for somebody who needs to move down that would do a lot better, fare better in a lower weight division, I'm going to go with I don't know how you guys think I'm crazy for saying this one. I'm going to say Chris Nightmare Oriella.
You think he can make a weight division lower, though?
I'll just say that.
What the
damn
hell? That guy's never going to make cruiserweight. Not in a million
years. You know, you out of your mind, bro, saying something like that. Well, he was telling us that he liked to eat some of that good Mexican food, bro.
He
never
going to
do it doing that now.
Don't take away Chris's food, bro. Please stop.
I tell you what, and I'd like to see Ali Bonica. I'd like to see him move up. He's tall, lanky. You know, he gives everybody problems. He's got the skills to hold it up in a heavier division. I'd like to see him move up. I'd like to see what he can do. Obviously, he can stay in the division and possibly try to get a rematch with Guzman, who clearly can beat, you know. But I think Ali Bonica can make a name for himself at 140, and I think he can give a lot of these guys, even Timothy Bradley, I think he can give Timothy some problems, being that he's so tall and lanky.
And he's got it.
I'd like to see Manny Pacquiao move up and fight Chad Dawson. Nah, I'm just playing. I'm bullshitting.
Hey, you know what, though, on that tip, I'd actually like to see and find out if Valero's underrated, overrated, or what. I want to see Valero against Manny Pacquiao.
Damn.
I'm like, it'll never happen, but
it never happened, and it's never going to happen. You know, I don't think it'll ever happen. But anyways, man, listen, this is your boy 97 Rough. This is Leaving the Ring. If you missed this episode, you can always archive it. I apologize for our guests not coming through. The weather, obviously, it is being a big factor for not just for the radio show getting our guests on, but for the whole world, you know. And I know I mentioned in the beginning of the show, if you want to support and donate some money, you can go to SaveHaiti@AndreBurdo.com and donate some money, man. That'd be great. You know, and as hardcore fight fans, we're very compassionate people, and this is a time for all of us to be compassionate for the people that are out there in the suffering time of what's going on, and our blessings and our prayers are all for everybody, Bertel's family, for the families that have lost their loved ones in Haiti through this tragedy, this natural disaster with this earthquake, man. We just wish you the best. And like I said, you can donate some money at SavingHaiti@AndreBurdo.com. I hope you guys do. And if you missed this episode, we had a lot of great questions, a lot of great answers. A great, great topic. So boxing, like usual, on Leaving the Ring. And everybody that comes through and listens to Leaving the Ring, we always appreciate it, man. And, you know, I'm getting texts right now from the PR. They apologize. They're trying to get the fighters on, but it's a little too late already. We only got a few more minutes. But next week, we do got Tommy Morrison, the Duke, coming through. And we got Freddie Roach. And maybe we'll be able to get the guys that weren't able to make it on today's show. Get them on next week real quick for a brief interview so we can catch up in what we missed out of what they had to say. We're leaving the ring with this new year, man. We're working our asses off to try to get some of the best guests on the show. From Miguel Cotto, Juan Ma, from Gamboa, you name it, we're trying to get them. From Teddy Atlas again, from Roy Jones, and even Danny Green. I'm working at it as hard as I can to try to get these guys on the radio show to chop it up with his hardcore fight fans. you know, because this is the home of the hardcore fight fans. Brothers, it's always
a
pleasure.
Hold on, before you go real quick. Let me get this right. Do you have Mataqua beating Gamboa this weekend? Because that's what it sounds like.
I'm dropping my video tonight.
Oh, okay. All right, then we'll...
I seen that.
For the record, I got Yuriukas Gamboa and Lopez both getting wins this weekend.
Yeah, I'll blow my video. I think that the upset's there. Mataqua could probably pull it off. So why not pick the upset when you got it? So I'm gonna go with Mataqua by knockout myself. But
what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna look up some Vida Guerra pictures and masturbate. That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, this is what I got. This is what I got. Before I go, this is what I got. Okay. Bob, you gotta stop masturbating because I don't know if you know this, but you can grow hairs on your palm, brother. But
what the
This is a top ranked card, right? Am I right about this? This is a top ranked card.
Yeah.
And I'm top rank setting up these fights, and Gamboa people had to agree on this fight facing Mataqua. I think, in all honesty, might have rushed into this fight. That's what I'm going off with. I think they might have rushed into this fight with Mataqua, just like the way Top Rank kind of rushed into that fight for Juan Ma. I got Mataqua, but I give you all my reasons in my video. I'm dropping it tonight, guys. If you want to comment saying I'm crazy and I don't know shit about boxing, etc., it's all good.
Hey, Rick, you ain't dropping no videos tonight. Stop lying.
This is your boy, 97 Rough. We got your boy, Blood, who always brings it hard. We call him Iron Lungs. Out of Florida, the boy Strike Heart. You got your boy Rob Riddler, the guy, the only guy that drinks his own urine and masturbates on his little hands. And then you got Chris Skywood. Chris Skywood 6, man. The guy that can't cross the street without almost getting hit by a car. And my boy David Chen, who's always in the bathroom when he does his interviews.
I knew you were going to say that shit.
No, we bring it, man. I'll leave it in the ring. It's all much love to all my brothers out
there. Hey, we got to start letting Rough crack on us like this, y'all. We need to start getting Rough back for some of this.
Yeah, hey, Rough's been laying low, so we can't get him back. All we know is that he used to sing. That's it. You gotta find one of them vids of you on YouTube singing in some tights and some golden tights or something.
Oh, that's cold. That's cold, man. All right, brother. You guys have a good night.